want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Okay. Michael, you're on the air. Hi, God bless you.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, you just caught me in the middle of making a nice egg salad.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Egg salad is good.
Yeah.
I like egg salad.
Listen, I want to compliment you guys on the show. Tell me, there's a show that I've heard when I was in Washington, D.C. It was a show called Jew to Jew. Do you guys know those guys? It's Dr. Ronald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. They have a similar show to yours. I don't know if you're familiar with it,
but I
like both shows. I think the four of you should get together.
I'm happy to hear that there's another show like ours. That's great. Jew to the Jew. And
it's
believers.
Called Jew to Jew.
They're believers.
Yeah, well, the guys, they're hilarious. They're always arguing, and before you know it, the laughter ensues. Like that. I have a question. It's about my sister-in-law. She decided that when her son is born, she doesn't want to have a circumcision. She's afraid that if they remove the foreskin, that they might maybe slip and slice the taint and expand the fart box into the ball sack or something like this. I don't know what her problem is, but what could I say to her?
Are you born again?
Where's your BM detector now?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hey, this is great. We're being persecuted by a Jew. Praise the Lord. And he's belching on the radio to show how wonderful he is. Oh, that's great. So you don't like Jesus, huh?
He's fine. How's your team?
Isn't that great? Okay. Well, good. God bless you, brother.
I love you.
Praying for you. That was a live phone call of a guy that had nothing else to do.
I had a feeling he was going someplace.
Yeah, me
crazy.
Too. But that's okay.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And you're the movie. I thought barbecues were family, but then I'm prejudiced. I enjoyed the movie. I thought barbecues were family, but then I'm prejudiced.
I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked an upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Telgar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Greed is good. I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
Hey, yo, man, you said we were going to business.
Oh, man, shut your anorexic, malnutrition, tapeworm habits, overdose, Dick Gregory, Bahamian diet, drinking ass up. Leave me alone.
Shuck on it, Trebek. Shuck it long and shuck it hard. Beautiful. You kissed your mother with that mouth.
No, but I did something to your mother with this mouth.
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought Spartacus was Spanish, but then I'm prejudiced.
You really believe this guy doesn't want to have kids?
Yeah, of course.
Elaine, a guy will say anything to get a woman.
Oh, please, he wouldn't say that.
Elaine, I once told a woman that I coined the phrase, pardon my French.
I once told a woman I don't eat cake because it goes right to my thighs.
I told the woman I enjoy spending time with my family.
Artie, what's going to happen to me?
Mm. Too sad to even think about.
Oh, God. Regis Philbin. Come on, Artie. Regis Philbin, he came back.
Son, what do you want to do? You want to sit there while Kathy Lee prattles on in your good ear about how Frank hates the James Cody poopy diaper?
We offer a cornucopia of educational and business opportunities for brothers and sisters to pursue higher learning. Reasonable pursuit, brother.
Brothers, join us in Reparations Texas Institute and learn hatred for the white devil in a relaxed campus atmosphere where classes range
from
hatred for the white devil
to
advanced hatred for the white devil
and
volleyball.
Dilly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot.
He's probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths.
Tell him that Sabian's not here in 20 minutes.
You die.
Comic starts here. He goes up here to the epitome for 10 years, and then he goes away. I've gone here, went there, stayed there, came here, went there, and I've been on this kind of an up and down, a longevity that not too many performers can say they had. 72 years of being in front of the public? That's about 62 more than you're supposed to have. But I cheated. I started at 5.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought Spartacus was Spanish, but then I'm prejudiced.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Those awful tapes of Kirk Douglas. You know who supplied those tapes?
Yeah, I know. Those guys.
These guys.
Right
here.
They have
no soul.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths. And that's what I like in that character.
Me too.
We're all going to have to get on.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob, beware!
Don?
Yes, Robbie.
I think Kirk Douglas is very brave.
Good afternoon.
That's good, Rob.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Shoes That Light Up. And all the ships at sea. They are master haters. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Abby. Hi. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're back to the live episode. Don and Mike show on this Wednesday, June 4th.
Right.
Here's your phone number from America, 877-365-3636. Canada, 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Donna. Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Let me see. I got that.
Shut up!
There's the shut up.
Shut up!
Okay.
Is anyone missing?
Hey, what happened?
Someone called for a doctor.
There you go.
Whoa.
I'll figure it out.
Man, listen to that ending.
I was thrown off by all the Kirk Douglas today.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths.
He's very brave.
Very brave.
Very brave. And I think we're very brave for playing those tapes on our radio show.
I agree.
Look what a day of IV and vitamin C and
I can't believe how much better you
sound. Great.
Fantastic.
Let's see if it holds
out. You sound better than you did this morning.
See if it holds out through the show, but yeah,
right.
I'm feeling strong.
You didn't want to talk this morning, did you, right?
Yeah, and yesterday.
You were saving your voice this morning?
Yesterday was tough because it was sick.
And, you know, I was mad because I wanted to come to work, and the doctor said, you've got a cold, and I'm still a little like, but the doctor says you got a cold, and what I want you to do is not talk. And I'm in the house with my wife, who's always there, and my mother-in-law, who's there all this week.
It's graduation week. Everybody's in town.
Right. Because my kid is graduating from school on Friday, and they were all over me yesterday. The thing is, the doctor says don't talk. Oh, no, Rob, they weren't all over me like that.
You mean your mother-in-law and your wife?
Yeah, both of them. Wow. It was a great three-way sex.
Wow.
No, I just mean it was the questions. They walk in the room and they ask questions, and they know that I'm not supposed to talk. And my wife wanted me to go through this ridiculous exercise of writing things down. And that is so frustrating because, you know, it's like you end up playing a game with her that as soon as I would write down the first word, she'd go, do you mean, what time are we going to Robin's house? And I go, yeah, you know, yes. And then occasionally I would just say, at a very low modulation, you just say, listen, I need to talk to you. And that's when she would turn around and go, hey, the doctor said don't talk. I go, not talking. And then she said, now listen, what are we going to do about Friday? Don't forget that Friday we've got this. And
so she did not allow you your proper amount of rest.
No, here's the thing. She was loving it because yesterday was one of those days. Well, first off, I'm really like a caged animal. I feel pretty good. I just got a cold.
Right.
As you heard on Monday, my throat was all effed up.
Pretty bad.
With this cold that I got from my wife, incidentally. And the deal yesterday was that the doctor said, just don't talk. Right? And I bet at the end of the day, you're fine. So yesterday I was at her mercy and at her mother's mercy. There was nowhere I could go to get sanctuary because wherever I went.
Sanctuary.
They would come to that place and then they would start to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them would start to talk to me. Now, normally when they talk to me, I can give them very concise, brief answers and get out of it. But like, for instance, my mother-in-law, who, you know, I love, and she's well-meaning. I'm sitting down, I'm having my coffee, which, you know, incidentally, great for a diet, because I couldn't taste anything yesterday.
Yeah, it's the worst. That's one of the worst parts about having a cold is
I'm having a coffee, and I can't taste it, but I'm waiting for the caffeine to juice up my
system. If you put salt on your tongue, you can taste it when you have a cold.
I got news for you. Yesterday, I actually got a gigantic teaspoonful of horseradish.
Yeah.
The hot and nothing.
Wow. I mean, that blocked up.
Nothing. And you remember that sushi stuff, that green stuff?
Wasabi.
That Buzz on a bet to win $100, you know, a giant chunk out of?
The greatest stunt that Buzz ever pulled.
I actually did that yesterday, too. And just
wasabi.
Couldn't smell, couldn't taste. So I'm sitting at the paper, just kind of lamenting my lot in life yesterday. My mother-in-law wants to start discussing whatever's on the front page of the newspaper with me. And she's got me at an advantage because she knows that I can't respond. So basically what I got most of yesterday was my wife and my mother-in-law's take on pretty much everything. And I just had to sit there.
A running monologue.
I just had to sit there and nod.
Right.
And occasionally I would go, mm-mm. And they would both go, hey, no talking. No talk.
And you were trapped because it was another rainy day, so it wasn't like you could leave or go outside, not with a cold anyway.
No. Yeah, it's raining again today, and
sucks.
And it's awful. And
hate it here. Can I make a suggestion? And I don't know whether you'll go for it or not, but can we, like, move the whole operation to the desert?
Not even the desert is safe. Then you can be complaining about the heat. There's bad weather everywhere. It's not just in D.C., and it's not just in Baltimore, and it's not just in Philadelphia.
They have a drought in India.
Well, I'm not moving. I hate the Indians.
How about they're not the regular Indians. So they're the Indians.
Oh, I know. Oh, you mean the dothead Indians.
Right.
And I don't hate any of them. Well, yes, I do. I hate everybody.
Hey, why can't we just do like it in a biosphere? We build our own environment. Like, we couldn't make it big enough.
We could. Well, all I know is that
sucks. Put a handle on it.
I apologize really from the bottom of my heart for not being here yesterday. And the doctor was right that if...
Me too.
You.
Hey, look, you know, here's the deal. I made this decision the other day. I could lie. I'm done with the charade. I'm done with the charade of saying two things, that I can come in here and duplicate what we do together. I cannot. You do a much better facsimile of it when I'm not here, and I accept that fact. And I also accept my lack of ambition and energy. And therefore, I thoroughly enjoyed my day yesterday.
Good. This morning, when you called, and you, and I also want to.
I was, no, don't say that I was disappointed. I really was. I actually wanted to come in today.
Mike was a buddy yesterday. He called yesterday, late in the day, to see how I was doing. And I think you got a little bit of that from Frieda with he can't talk. He's not allowed to speak.
I figured the last thing, either you were resting, the last thing I said, I just want to call and see how he's doing. Probably can't talk. I don't need to talk to him. Because she said, I'll get him. I said, I don't need to talk to him. Just tell him I called, and, you know, everything was cool.
But I knew that today you were playing in this pro-am at the golf tournament here in D.C. this weekend.
The FBR Capital Open.
And I knew that this morning, and I'm not busted you for anything except the fact you love playing golf.
Right.
When you called me this morning, you said, hey, you know, it was typical Mike, mm-hmm. upbeat, how you doing? I said, I'm doing much better. Does that mean we're going to have a show today? I said, yeah, you went, okay. And I know...
No!
The, okay, was because of the rain, because your golf had been delayed. How many hours?
They actually wiped out the 18-hole pro-am today. They turned it to a 9-hole pro-am. I was supposed to tee off at 7:30 this morning. I teed off at 11:30 for 9 holes. And I shouldn't do this.
Do what?
Because of one guy...
Go ahead.
Sorry. There's one guy. I don't even remember the guy's name.
Talk about the guy.
This guy is the one guy in our group that was just slow.
Oh.
And he was slow and just every... It was... I realized...
And he was retarded?
This is the first pro-am I've ever played. No, he was a slow player.
Oh.
A slow player. And it was driving...
No, he's not retarded.
Insane. The pro-am is a pro... a guy that I played with, Chris Riley, could not have been nicer. He's from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I got to have one of those cards... that we used to have a long time ago that has every station we're on.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like people think I'm lying to them when I said, oh, we're on in Las Vegas. He said, oh, what's the station? And then I go, duh.
But I bet even if you told him, he'd never heard of it. I mean, it's a POS station. We do well enough on it, but
I thought we were doing really well in Las Vegas.
We are.
I said that's like one of our most, we're fastest growing markets.
We're top five.
Right.
In Las Vegas, but I think generally the station might even be below the line. It might not even have a one share overall.
Wow.
Really? I think so.
Okay, I thought we were doing really, really well.
I mean, you and I are doing well. The last ratings that
the station overall isn't.
We're top five. I think so.
Well, it was horrible weather, but I actually was calling to find out how you were doing to make sure that we were doing it today. And I thought that I would be, you know, not have to cut it close getting in here, and then instead I had to have a fire drill getting to the radio station. But it really is the most fun I've ever had to do it. The only thing I regret is that it wasn't 18 holes, and I started at 7:30, and I would have been done 2 hours before the show.
How did you do? Did you do well or poorly?
The pressure of playing in a pro-am. I mean, I've been out there, and I've always thought, man, that must be tough when they announce your name. And, of course, because of the wonderful weather, the crowds were unbelievable.
Oh, Mike, hold on.
There were four people out there.
Just pulled up the ratings. Our station in Las Vegas has, in fact... made the front page.
Ooh.
A 1.0 for the entire station.
Well, I didn't share that with the...
KSFM, that's our station in Las Vegas.
The tour pro, Chris Riley from Las Vegas. But he could not have been nicer. He was a great guy, young guy, 29 years old. And he is a great player. But I didn't know how exactly it was going to work. And you know what that's all... You know what a pro-am golf tournament is all about for the people like the amateurs like myself? For a day, you pretend... you're a PGA Tour player.
Cool.
Because you walk around...
And it's a dream come true for you, right?
It was the great... I didn't know until today how exciting and how thrilling it would be to be out there, because you act... You walk around, and there's no difference, because everybody wears golf shirts and wears these things. There's a difference. You can tell by the way the guys dress and stuff. But I was trying to be Johnny Pro out there, and I, you know, I was failing miserably. I was doing great until I put my rain pants on. And the guy that was...
your adult diapers? Your rubber pants?
A friend of mine was caddying for me, Big Al. Big Al was caddying for me. And when I put on my rain pants, that's when... These guys slip into these outfits, these rain outfits, these tour pros, and they just look like really slick. And I always said, So I bought a rain suit, but the rain suit I bought, the pants, believe it or not, are too large. And because they are... I looked down and I looked back at him, at Al, because Al stands in back of you when you're on the practice team, and I said, How do I look in these pants? And Al gave me a look that indicated I did not look I did not look good at all.
I wish you had actually had Joe as your caddy.
Yeah, but the thing about it,
can I show you Joe? You've not, because you just
I've seen Joe with the short hair. Yeah,
Joe got his haircut today.
Joe
got a real grown up haircut today. Look at it.
It looks silly.
We were both leading the charge that he needed to get a haircut because he looks so bad with his long hippie hair.
He seems to be a little annoyed that everybody's noticing it, too. Yeah. It was the first thing I said. But
me, too. And I came in and I said, hey, you finally read the memo. And he said, what memo? You know, the one about your hair.
Your hair, man. But you asked me how I did?
Yes.
So they announce you. And the pro, of course, tees up way back there. We tee up way up there, but it
so
is
you're
still
like the girls' tease.
Yeah, almost on a couple of holes. It was really almost to the point of it wasn't you know fun. But they put they're called the white tees. They're like the men's tees at a club
for whites
and
only.
And the pucker factor.
There you go, right? For whites only.
The pucker factor is like this. I don't think physically I've never been more nervous. Wow. On the first hole, and yours truly got up, busted it right down the fairway. And I parred the first hole. Didn't do that well on a few of the holes, but it was absolutely the most fun. I will do that now, you know.
And imagine anytime. If the weather was good, there might have actually been some people out there.
Yeah,
to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's really I feel bad for all the people that you know that come out during the early rounds to see the pros because you're gonna have a lot more access, and it was exciting. You know what?
Next year, you got to let me help you, because next year...
You know what, really?
You got to be with a name guy. I mean, this guy from Vegas, I'm sure, like you're saying, was nice, but you got to be with one of the guys that everybody's heard of.
Well, they do a drawing on Tuesday night, and that's why the fact that you were...
You rigged the drawing.
Well, you know what? I don't know how it works, but man, it looked a little hinky to me.
Mm.
And I was sitting there, and Tammy helped me and get the early morning thing, but... I realized right away that I wasn't getting any priority. And, of course, who did I want to play with? I wanted to play with Mark O'Mara.
Right, Mark O'Mara and Mike O'Mara.
He was, and I said, if Mark O'Mara has an early morning tea time, when I got into the big ballroom where they're having this drawing, I would be very excited. And I looked up, and Mark O'Mara was teeing off at 7:20. And he was he had to be the first guy that went in this drawing. Everybody had him. And I... Chris Riley, and it turned out he was a really, really nice guy. But
yeah, I know. No,
but he's too nice, though. He's won. He's won a couple of tournaments.
Yeah, he's no one that the layman has heard of.
It was funny because he was, you know, it was almost better because I talked to him and I wasn't like in awe of the guy or anything. It was just, he was a regular guy and a really nice guy. He helped a couple of guys look for their lost balls and one of the caddies told me.
See, a real pro wouldn't have done that.
No,
what you want to do is play one of the big money winners, one of the guys who's on TV all the
but
time.
But I hear that some of those guys can be dicks.
Well,
I don't want to play with a dick.
That's part of the experience.
Yes, for porn of it, you know, your favorite guy?
Oh, the guy with the effed up hat?
I was thinking of you when I came out there, because we came, at one point, two holes were side by side, and this guy had, a strawberry-colored rain suit. It really looked it looked fluorescent, and I thought,
super.
You've mentioned him so many times whenever we do talk about golf, but, you know, the weather screwed everybody, and we were lucky to even get nine holes in out there. So it was the thrill of my life. I will do it. If they will have me, I will do it every year. I will... No, I'm not going to say
that. Well, on Mike's behalf, he'll do it next year.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, as Mike's management in this, representing Mike, I say that you're not going to have the drawing power that Mike brings to your tournament unless you put him with a better golfer than this guy from Las Vegas.
I was a little disappointed that it was crappy weather because nobody was out there. I wanted to have that real pressure, you know, as it was. It was about 20 people on the first tee watching, and... It was, there's nobody out there.
Well, look at the weather. It's 50 degrees. It's raining.
Yeah, it was a drag. But you know what? I think, you know, I know you play at it and you just started and stuff like that, but they have an A player, a B player, a C player, and a D player. It's all different skill levels. And
I got to have, like, the M or N player. You can go way down there. I got to have, like, the Z player.
I think you'd probably dig it.
And here's why I would.
You wouldn't like it?
That I'm not like you in this regard. Even when I took lessons last year with golf and stuff, when I would just be out there playing with the guy who was trying to teach me how to play golf,
right?
When other guys would come up behind us, I would just always say, play through.
Yeah.
Hey, play. I'm sorry, Rob, I hit you in the head. Well, you, You're so close to me.
I know.
I just made a hand move and hit Rob in the head. You know, Rob could be standing 8 feet away and you could hit him in the head. I did that. I would do that thing. Play through because I didn't want the pressure of having these just four guys that I don't know watching me hit. I could never do that in front of all those
people. Here's the cool thing about it. And I didn't know. This is my first one that I've ever played in. It's a best ball deal. It's like one of those kind of tournaments. So if you hit like a horrible shot, and if you feel like it, you just pick it up and put it in your pocket. Right. I did that. I hit a shot that went out of bounds, and they were looking for it, and I said, I'll just put it in my pocket because it's a best ball, and somebody else will pick you up on that hole. It's fun.
Well, that's why you know that game is better for you than for me.
I loved it. I could do it. Man, I could like travel the country and play in those things.
Great.
If I was a man of means, if I wasn't in my current depleted condition, I would be.
You are still a man of means.
Even
with your 50% man of means.
These are like the little boys that get everything they want. These are like grown men. Grown men that would be the...
You're a little boy who gets everything you want. I'm a little boy that gets everything
I don't get everything I want.
Yeah, you do. No. So do I.
Well, but I don't like some of these guys. These guys are sitting there talking about, yeah, remember when we last year at the Masters? Yeah, remember when we did this? Yeah, remember when we went to the Super Bowl? Blah, 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 blah. And they just... That's what these guys... And I don't...
We go to the Super Bowl.
Well, here's the deal. I don't think they work. Some of these guys, I don't think they work at all.
Well, a lot of
I think
people,
they may have worked.
A lot of people don't think we work.
That's true.
You know
that's
that.
No, but I mean, you know what? When I'm coming down to it, and I get a dirty look from one of the guys because I say, "Hey, listen, I got to be on the air within the hour. Is there a chance you can move it just a little bit?" I didn't say it that meanly, but I got the attitude. You know, when you tell somebody to speed up, you're playing with you. I got like a "Hey, Mike." You know, one of these things. So I was a bit of an a-hole on that count.
I got a pleasant surprise from my kid who was here the last 2 weeks. You probably heard him on the show doing his senior project about interning at a radio station. And I was pleasantly surprised. I read this thing. Now, here's the dynamic I have with this kid. And you know I love him. I'm reading this thing, and the front page is basically what he's saying is, I never realized my dad does as much as he does. That Bart, who listens to the show, thinks that we just come in, we just turn it on, turn the microphones on, do the breaks whenever we want to. Everything is just kind of whatever happens. Well, he's okay for you. It's that way, but from my end,
did he write that in his paper that he confirmed the fact that Uncle Mike doesn't do that much?
You were not mentioned.
All right,
you were not mentioned.
Okay.
He wrote, and I mean, I'm getting to something here.
He wrote a paper about this place, like working here and his experience, and
that's why he was here for those 2 weeks. That was his senior project.
I know, but he had to write a paper about it, and I wasn't in the paper.
I believe your name was mentioned in there at some point as being, you know.
No, all right. I mean, I just thought that maybe, you know, that I'd have a paragraph or something. And, you know, Mike, you know, is...
Listen, if it means anything to you, I was only mentioned on, like, the first page, and the rest of it is all about Charlie and Lisa and Joe and Rob and the stuff that's done behind the scenes, because that's where he worked, behind the scenes.
Well, they don't do that much, do they?
They do more than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not plugged into that, so why not? Well, you're not either, right?
Well, I'm aware of the work.
You're more
that
plugged
they do.
Into it than I am.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you talk about how handsome I was?
No.
That's what I asked.
That didn't make the cut.
Really?
So anyway, I'm reading this thing.
I wanted one paragraph.
I'm reading this thing, and I'm seeing it. And for a moment, I'm feeling some pride here, because it's just, you know, I've never had any idea how much work my dad really does.
Right.
That I didn't know that all this planning and the timing and that everything is kind of planned, even though it doesn't sound like it's planned and blah, blah, blah. And I read this thing and I get done with it and I give it back to him. I say, hey, that's an excellent senior project. And, you know, I'm really impressed. You humbled me. Thank you for writing those nice things about me. And without even missing a beat, he said, I made that part up. I just made that part up to make you feel good.
He's working.
Yeah, I know he's working. That's, you know, that's the way it is now.
Yeah.
And he's especially that way now because we're to the countdown now before his graduation. His graduation is Friday.
Right.
And we're not going to be here on Friday. And I had a giant online fight today with one of the dickweeds from this company about that. Listen, here's the thing. For his whole life, no matter what you listeners might think about the amount of time that Mike and I get off for vacations or whatever, for my kid's entire life, all these things that he's gone through at school where parents are involved, I cannot tell you how many times I've always said, I got to leave.
Right.
You know, they got a thing, a dad's day at school, where all the other dads who have regular Joe jobs, they stay all day.
Right.
And I would go until 1 o'clock, then I would leave to come and do the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, Friday, there's no way I can do it.
No.
There's just no way. I was in an online conversation today with someone who works not directly with us, but kind of directly with us. I think you can figure out who I'm talking about. And he wrote, well, you were sick yesterday. What's the status of Friday? And, you know, I type back, well, Friday is, you know, preordained Bart's graduation. And the guy writes back, well, why do you have to take off work for this?
And I
write back, because I am his father, and it is an important day. Then the guy writes back to me, what time is the graduation? Yeah, you've nailed it, Mike. Congratulations. Mike is just speaking down who it is. So I write back to him, not that it's any of your business, but the breakfast/brunch for senior parents starts at 11, and the ceremonies start an hour to 2 hours afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I get the response, so why can't you just show up for work late? And then I have to write back, everybody now knows who it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's written a guess, and everybody is absolutely correct.
No,
you're wrong.
Okay.
So then I write back, sorry to inconvenience everybody, but this is one day. No, Buzz, you're wrong again.
Okay.
Buzz, let me give you a hint.
Let me try this. Got it.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Buzz has got it too.
All right.
So then I write back, you know, and I'm really pissed off. I'm writing back. There may be things with other parents that go on late into the afternoon. There's a family portrait session. Bottom line, I'm not going to be able. It's one day. It's the most important day of my kid's life. And I still get back, but you were just sick yesterday. And that's when I pulled out the Trump card. And it was so great to write this. I type back, maybe Donald Rumsfeld is free on Friday.
Good one.
Because I'm counting the days that we've taken off since our last vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We had off Memorial Day, which was a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
We had the 2 days when we were in Iceland, you know, the traveling to and traveling from Iceland, that was a company thing. We didn't say, oh, my God, please, we got to go to Iceland. We had a good time, but that was a company thing.
I saw Magnus, incidentally, at the golf tournament.
Oh, the guy from Iceland there?
Yeah, did I mention that before on the air?
Didn't.
I mentioned it off the air. He was partnered with just Jesper Parnevik.
See, now you should have had that guy.
Yeah, well,
you should have been with a more famous guy.
I know. It was, especially in the strawberry rain suit.
So right back, you know, we had those 2 days were company days, right. And then you took us off for Rumsfeld. We didn't want to be off that day, but you took us off that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Memorial Day was a national holiday, and, you know, God forbid that I was sick yesterday. I truly was sick. If you heard the show Monday, you knew that. And I'm sick today, and I'm here. And Friday's my kid's graduation.
Did my name come up?
No.
So that's where it is. There's a little pride there. There's a little pride. But no, I mean, there's no ambition there. I mean, that's, my name didn't come up?
Well, no, your name came up.
Okay.
Right. Your name came up.
All right.
And I think very eloquently stated what I believe your position to be.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The bottom of my heart.
I didn't sell you out.
No, that's good. That's good. You go ahead and sell me out.
No, I didn't sell you out, though.
Yeah, I mean, but it's good. But it's fine. I just, you know, I get worried about things like that.
Why would you get worried? What would you be worried about?
Having to come in.
And I know that. Which is funny.
Did I surprise you?
No.
I'm really done being lying about that.
Like, I know.
Can I do it? Of course. Can I do it, you know, well? I mean, it's passable. But I hate it. I've hated it ever since I've been working with you.
You know what?
And I think after 19 years, I'm finally not going to BS people about it.
And you should know that that's exactly what I wrote.
It's a little laziness, but it's not.
I don't think it is.
It's not as much as it's just.
You're lazy.
You know.
You're not that lazy. I wrote back, Mike just hates it. And then I wrote, end of discussion on this topic.
I think, frankly, I also, when I do that, I think I stress people out that work here. And I think anybody that are behind the scenes, am I right? I think anybody that is behind the scenes would, you know what? People will find this hard to believe, but it's the truth. when I'm doing it, when you're not here, I can be an infinitely bigger dick. I really can, because I get really, you know, I get really, because I hate it. I've heard.
You get,
I know.
You get wound up.
And I know that. And I, well, that's good. But I mean, and I don't think Alan.
Hey.
Oops. Just, that just slipped out.
So anyway. Anyway,
no, he's fine.
So we're looking for we as a family, we're looking forward to Roundhouse stuff. Killing me. We're looking forward to his graduation, and the deal with the graduation is now that he knows he's got it in the bag, he is just, he's impossible to control.
It was if my memory serves me, it was one of the greatest periods in my life, one of the happiest times in my life, that time when you're done in high school, when you realize that, because you just, and tell him to dig it. I told him that a long time ago. You know, I mean, this is just one of the coolest periods. It might have been the last time I was truly happy.
You know, it's really, if you think on it, it's like the only event that you know from 13 years out that you've got this date to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, like, and you build up to it for your whole life.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yesterday, because I'm at home all day, I'm noticing stuff, and I notice it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a Tuesday, and he's still up there sacked out. So I go up, and I give him the old push. And then you're like, hey, and I can't speak, but I'm pointing at my watch. I go, hey, 1 p.m. Afternoon, 1 p.m. And he just rolls over, and he says, why should I get up? I don't have to get up now. I'm graduating on Friday.
And he made it. He made it.
Yeah. And I have no recourse to that. I mean, I've got no retort. I got no response. I'm out. I just went, okay, just like with my wife, and just like with my mother-in-law. I just went, I was doing a lot of that yesterday. Just a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a happy time, and I think you're to be congratulated. Yeah. I think anybody, you know, when you get a kid to that point, it's a closing ceremony for you, too.
Oh,
for
yeah.
You guys, too.
I don't think we're not looking forward to it.
And you're probably going to lose it, too. I got news for you. You're probably going to lose it when he walks up there.
Oh, I guarantee I will.
Yeah.
I guarantee I will. I'll be just a big pile of jello.
Who wouldn't be?
It's a pile of jello.
That's okay.
But, anyway.
I'm getting emotional just talking about it.
So I beg your indulgence. You are wonderful listeners for Friday.
They won't understand.
Oh, I know they won't. And yesterday, you know, trust me, if it could have been here, I would have. But anyway, here we are now. And, well, if you want to know exactly what I was like yesterday, I did tape record myself.
Oh, good.
And here's a tape. I know I wasn't supposed to speak yesterday.
I have a prediction.
Here's
what's going to be.
Here's a tape of me yesterday, just to show you how ill I was. Really,
I enjoyed the movie. I thought Spartacus was better, but then I'm prejudiced.
Oh, you are back. Come in, you're back 100%
yeah,
today.
You can tell I was not feeling very well.
Yeah. Feeling very, very well.
I wasn't feeling well yesterday. And later I had this to say.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths. And that's what I like in a character.
So, see, people should realize that Don reads the Bible when he's at home.
Yeah. Oh, constantly. It's my favorite book. Even though I know how it ends, I love reading.
You were very brave yesterday.
Yeah.
Very
thank
brave.
You, Mike. And you're very brave to sit through this right now.
Thank you so much.
Because even though I know at some on some level you're protesting, on another level that you won't let through, you're laughing just like we are.
Can't lie about that either.
That is from the AFI special last night, the ridiculous special. Oh, we have tapes of this. You know, there's nothing funny than Arnold Schwarzenegger speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even saying anything. We got a break, but I'll just tease this. He's not even saying anything of real essence, but just the fact that dumb Arnold Schwarzenegger is speaking.
Soon to turn the clock back. Way back. 100 years back. Most movies were less than a minute long, and many of them were just one scene. A couple dancing, a man and a woman kissing.
He's just
can't be a narrator.
He's so funny to listen to. Yeah.
The best one, I know we'll get to it, but at the end he talks about how he's very thankful that they let a young boy who dreamed in Austria of being part of the magic.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Arnold is a narrator. That's funny.
Yeah. We have the tapes of Arnold last night on this AFI show of the greatest heroes and villains, and that's what we go. we got a lot more Kirk Douglas tapes, too. Sure. You know, why they let that guy speak, I don't know. He should just be...
Because he's very brave.
He's just sitting there holding up cue cards or something like that. With, you know, I liked the movie Spartacus.
Right.
My son was very good in Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. He's very brave.
He's very brave. I think we're very brave.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very brave as a show.
Christopher Reeve was also very brave. Mm-hmm. And on the special last night.
He was on. Well, that's brave.
Rob Reinhart, he discussed him in length.
I understand.
What's up with his hair?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's got the whole horse thing happening with the...
Right, right.
With the whole
paralysis.
But the head is okay, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's okay as it could be in his condition, you know.
Well, he needs to go to hair club or something.
It's misshaped a little bit, too. I don't know. There's something wrong.
Well, he might have trouble blow-drying it. Yeah.
Well, his wife could help him.
Well, I think she does, probably.
Didn't we read a story that he still has sex with his wife, that he still pleasures her, that she she actually will climb up on top of his shoulders, and since he can only work
with
his mouth.
I'm not sure whether that detail was ever released to the press. That's very brave.
I saw a video.
Very brave. Mm-hmm. I was just disappointed as hell with the entire list of this dumb heroes and villains. The top hero of all time is Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, that sounds a little like phony pseudo she.
And the top villain of all time is Hannibal Lecter.
That's pretty close.
Not bad.
Well, no, but you had my choice would have been Darth Vader. You've also got somewhere in the top 20. You've got Norman Bates.
You know what? You could make a real good case for. I could give you a pretty good argument on that. Hannibal Lecter, Darth Vader. Didn't Darth Vader have a good side? Didn't Darth Vader?
Yeah, you know.
Didn't they pull back the mask?
But at one point, wasn't Hannibal good? At least before he started cutting people up and eating. Didn't he make good highways?
In the beginning?
Didn't his generals try to kill him?
Hannibal was never good.
All right, here's one. The 13th worst villain of all time, 13th best villain, whatever the dumb AFI says. HAL 9000, the computer from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I don't think so.
That's the 19th best villain of all time?
No, I don't think so at all.
And the worst call for villain, I forget the number, they looped all Martians in together.
Well, that's
like
not right.
From all movies that had Martians.
Some of these lists are very forced.
And how about
they make you talk around the water cooler?
How about this though? The 8th greatest hero of all time in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sigourney Weaver in Alien.
Whoa. That doesn't make any sense.
First off, let me just state the obvious. What's a girl doing on this list? Period. But much less in the top 10. Well, I've only got one thing to say.
Greed is good. I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
He's talking about his son.
Very brave.
Yes, he is.
He's very brave.
We have to break. Yeah, I know that's good because you don't hear Mike laughing, but I see him laughing. And at the same time, I see him rubbing his temples and rubbing his face.
You know why I'm doing that?
Why?
I'm just picturing a little voice in my head is just going, "Hello, Mike. This is hell calling."
Wait, hold on. What about all the times that we're doing one of our skits? And a lot of times, you're out. Is Seth Rubin having a stroke?
I'm comfortable with my duality, Don.
Well, this is part of your duality.
I'm very comfortable with my duality. You know, it does bring me great joy watching you two toddlers in the back of the studio. It really does. With their jaws on.
Doing a lot of talking last night. We're just doing a lot of listening on the phone with Rob. Rob's gone. I'm going, look at him now. Look at him now. Okay, let's clear the lines. Yeah, it's just Rob and I laughing at this.
Not me.
Not Mike.
No. How can you not? Sorry. I've said it. It's out there for everyone to hear.
We have a chance for you to win $500 with the secret service. What's going on here? What am I missing?
Oh, man. How can you not?
Everybody's being very brave today.
Yeah. Very brave.
Phone number 877-365-3630.
I didn't do a thing.
No, you didn't do a thing.
I did the dead
that
lift.
Could be heard on the radio.
I know. I
you're
did the dead
as
lift.
Bad as we are, and you know it.
I know.
You're a member. You're a vice president of this club.
I know. I'm going to be there.
Okay, we'll be right back. Call down. Call 100.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors. The Don and Mike Show.
You laugh till you crap your pants. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's get a call 100 going here. Get this baby up and running. Hello there. Don and Mike.
Call 100?
Yeah, call 100. Hi, what's your name?
Daryl.
Daryl.
Dale.
That's a shock. I got it. Daryl, where are you from? Dale.
Front Royal.
Dale. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it Dale or Daryl?
Yeah, Dale.
Okay, Fred, listen. You won 4 throw tickets before you can buy them to see Leonard Skinner. I love him. And Sam Hagar. I love them. Together at Nissan Pavilion, July 29. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 at Ticketmaster, NissanPavilion.com. But wait, there's more. Tickets to see one of the biggest events in golf, 156. Oh, the Doobie Brothers are out of control. 156 of the world's best golfers at the FBR Capital Open now through June 8th at TPC Avenal, Potomac. This is what Mike was playing at today.
No more rain, please. That golf course has enough rain on it.
No doubt.
Enjoy, my friend. No doubt. Now you'll play for $500 with a common everyday sound. The clue is kids. I'm going to give another one, Rob.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to. What the hell? This is going to be the clue.
Oh, he won't agree. Oh, he agrees. Okay, well, wow. It won't be any help then. Right.
No, I think it will.
It's huge.
If you use your head, it's going to make a lot of sense.
Is that a clue?
No.
Could that be a riddle?
No, that wasn't. The first clue is kids,
uh-huh.
And the second clue is Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld. Now, listen to the sound.
I thought you were just going to give the initial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been helpful. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. 15 seconds. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Digital Underground.
Hey. Oh, wait, now what is that? Is that... that's not the Humpty Dance, is it?
No.
Oh. Okay, stand by for action.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. And it's not the sound of a soda can or a beer can being opened. It's nothing that's vacuum sealed. It's not a can of Pringles or, you know, how they put Doritos in those cans now.
Well, you look kind of cute to me. I think you can achieve this. But you act like you need me. Kiss me, and I'll kiss you back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For $500, what's the sound?
The only thing I can think of is a queef.
What did he say? A queef.
Oh, we're sorry.
Yeah, then I would have said it was Elaine, not Jerry.
I mean, she had a few of them.
I bet Mrs. Seinfeld did, too. And Mrs. Costanza.
Oh, my God, Mrs. Costanza, probably every day.
Thank you, and don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
We'll do that again tomorrow. So last night they got this show on CBS.
Yay, CBS!
Great network. Where they got the 100 best heroes and villains. 50 top heroes, 50 top villains. And looking at the list, it's very subjective. Everybody has certainly a different thought. I don't see how, you know, and I got a thing, I got the tattoo and everything, but I don't see how you got Batman at number 46 on the hero list.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and above Batman... At 39 is Lassie, a dog. Also above Batman at number 31 is Aaron Brockovich.
I think they're trying to please everybody, the dogs and the women.
Let me see. Then at number 15, Norma Ray.
Sally Field.
Sally Field. Then you've got... some other ones I know you've heard of. At number 9, George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life.
That's pretty good. He's a good hero.
Yeah. Rocky is number 7.
Of course. Duh.
Number 1 is Gregory Peck, Atticus Finch, To Kill a Mockingbird, of which 80% of our audience has no freaking idea.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is Indiana Jones. Number 3 is James Bond, Sean Connery from Dr. No.
I would say he should be in the top 5.
Yeah. Number 4 is Humphrey Bogart from Casablanca. And number 5 is Gary Cooper from High Noon.
Mm.
Again, try to keep it at least in the last 3 to 4 decades. Let's look at the villain.
The list strikes me as being all over the place.
Yeah. And you know, there's every once in a while you'll see just a parting, very, very wishy-washy kiss towards our generation. Like on the villains, number 50 is Denzel Washington in Training Day. And you know, that was an afterthought. Because it was like, well, we got to put something in that people have heard of today. And,
yeah, it's all over the place.
And he won an Oscar, so let's put him in there.
But I am. Is Hannibal Lecter number one?
He is number one.
I can't. I'm having trouble arguing with that one. Yeah. I think that might be the one.
Well, I would have gone with Darth Vader.
And where is Darth Vader on the list? Is he in there?
Number three. Norman Bates is number two. Linda Blair and The Exorcist is number nine.
As a villain?
Yes.
That's not right.
It's not her fault.
She's a victim.
She was possessed.
That's horrible.
Now, here's a good one. Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction, a movie that married guys won't watch with their wives. That's number seven. Number seven, best villain. Number 18, The Shark.
Jaws. Where's Damien?
Damien is not on the list, Mike.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, now, here's another one. You could look at this guy as a hero or as a villain. The aforementioned Gordon Gekko from Wall Street.
I think he would be a villain.
Hi, Mike. I guess it's just our own sensibility. He's a hero. Either way, he's number 24. Then at number...
Where's Jason?
At number... He didn't make it. This is Freddy.
Oh, so they didn't do any of the classic...
No.
Crazy.
But they didn't do any of that. But at number 27, you have jumbled together from every movie of the genre, Martians.
That's stupid.
At number 27, Martians.
I think Freddy did make it.
Freddy, I don't
Freddy Krueger?
Oh, hold on. You're right, Robbie. He's number 40.
Freddy Krueger should be on the list. Mm-hmm.
However, Freddy Krueger was beaten by Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians.
All right, now it's beginning to take shape.
Okay.
Atticus Finch, Cruella de Vil.
Super. We put together the list.
So anyway.
I think we're getting a little perspective on the list, givers.
Yeah.
There's anything
the thing
wrong
is
with
all
that.
Over the place. So.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Joan Crawford is Mommy Dearest, only was number 41.
Now, is it Joan Crawford or... The character that Faye Dunaway played
in
it.
It's Faye Dunaway as... Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford.
She ought to be in the top five. I think that is one of the great villains of all time.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is a good guy, number 37.
That's a hero?
Yeah, that's a hero. Good guys. Here's now, just tell me, what's wrong with this? You're talking about all-time movie heroes. And again, it's very subjective, but you just tell me if you find this irritating. Number 29... George C. Scott is General George Patton.
All right, that's a
hero.
Yeah, that's a good solid place for him.
Sure.
However, he's beaten at number 27 by Woodward and Bernstein from All the President's Men.
I know it was a good movie. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, but they don't fit into that category.
No, heroes and villains. It's, you know, the whole thing. Rob's right. The only reason they put this dumb thing on is because they got like 400 people on life support in Hollywood who vote on this list, and they do it so dumb disc jockeys like us talk about it and
get a buzz going. Sorry, buzz.
Okay. And people call in, and we've got calls with people now saying, "What about Star Wars? What about the Joker? Mm-hmm. What about Chucky?
Yeah,
I think Chucky's.
What about the Leprechaun?
Joker made it."
The Joker made it? Where's the Joker, Robbie?
Where's your gold?
New and improved Joker products? Number 45, Jack Nicholson. But the best part about the show was the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger was one of the hosts. And there is nothing funnier than listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger really try to speak. It's even funnier...
Try to be serious.
...than listening to Kirk Douglas speaking.
Wow.
Right. So here now is the intro... Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sigourney Weaver and many more. Now, our host, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Turn the clock back. Way back. 100 years back. Most movies were less than a minute long. And many of them were just one scene. A couple dancing. A man and a woman kissing.
Dancing.
Someone sneezing. Then came the great train robbery.
Den, not T-H-E-N.
Right, right.
Den.
Then came the great Trim Rabri.
A movie with a story.
With a story.
It was an epic. 12 minutes long.
What is it?
And a huge popular.
This is gonna be a blast. Really doing it enough. 12 minutes long.
And a huge.
Then came the
story. It was an epic. 12 minutes long.
He says 12.
12 minutes.
12 because minutes I guess, long.
Because I guess it's closer to his native tongue. Yeah. That's why, you know, dort ist bin ich bin mein einen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Is 11 L?
I don't know. I only get to 10 in German.
Story. It was an epic. 12 minutes long. And
the 12. Yes, Lisa, hi.
Elf.
Elf is 11 or 12?
Yeah. 11.
And 11. Is 12 12?
What's 12? Zwolf.
Zwolf.
Zwolf, angry man.
So that's why, well, no, we just found out why he says
12 minutes.
12. That's why he says Zwolf. Exactly. That's why he says it.
Listen to it now.
It's long and a huge popular success. But for tonight's purposes, it's most important because it was the first shot fired in a battle that has raged across the years. You see, the great train robbery had good guys and bad guys.
Oh, did I go?
That's where he's at. Good guys, bad guys.
That's the 12 minutes, sorry.
It's long.
Wolf.
There it was.
So 12 in German is Zwolf?
Zwolf.
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying.
And you'll hear that in this.
Zwolf was an epic. 12 minutes long.
Zwolf.
And a huge popular success. But for tonight's purposes, it's most important because it was the first shot fired in a battle that has raged across the years.
You're an ex-governor.
You see, the great...
Of California.
The great train robbery.
Guys.
Zwolf minutes long.
For 100 years, these characters have battled each other in every possible conflict. Shootouts, fist fights, swordplay.
Crazy shootouts,
swordplay.
Simple war of words.
Yes.
But who of all those heroes in American movies is the most courageous, selfless, and noble? And who among the villains is the most wicked? Tonight, we're here on behalf of the American Film Institute to answer those questions. To honor the best of the best and the best of the worst. The challenge of choosing who is naughty and nice.
He's so funny just to listen to him speak.
Across the history of American film, including monsters, aliens, animals, even some robots.
Robots?
The votes have been tallied. The results are in. Tonight we are going to reveal them all. From number 50 to number 1. And you have got the front row seat for the fight of the century.
What did that sound?
That was the first clip.
Rally.
Hero number 50 was the gladiator.
Zwolf minutes long.
But you have to also picture Arnold in a suit and tie and looking just as stiff as can be in the balcony of some beautiful classic movie theater.
Zwolf.
And his eyes just as blank as a movie screen as he's doing the talking.
He's reading.
Here he is telling us now that only 10 remain.
Spartacus was the most important thing I did in my career.
The heavy
because Spartacus represent a man who wanted freedom.
I swear to God, I didn't mean to do that, but that's great every time.
12 minutes long.
Oh, here we go. Cut number 8, sorry. Arnold at halfway point.
25 down, 25 to go. The math is simple, but it's gotten harder to tell who is a hero and who is not.
And it's there sometimes. You know, he says hero.
Mm-hmm.
Almost gets the R pronounced.
This is his closing now when he talks about being a little boy from Austria.
Oh, good.
Heroes and villains have a profound impact on our lives. In their struggle to succeed, they teach us life's lessons, the do's and the don'ts, and inspire us to become better people.
The do's and the don'ts.
Take it from the little boy in Austria who saw movies and dreamed of coming to America to be part of this magic.
I'm running for governor.
Imagine how proud I am to be here tonight, representing both heroes and villains.
Imagine I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a movie coming out on July 2nd.
Thousands of artists across the
Zwolf, Minot, Swan.
Together to create these classic screen characters.
And I says...
Until next time, hasta la vista.
That's his line from the movies. Was this another circle? You know what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for the movies, too, where they...
Everybody woke
they're
up
not
with
enough awards.
Covered so have, with DNA.
So they have to pat themselves on the back yes. again and talk about how wonderful they are.
Film industry.
The film industry. Is there any industry that congratulates itself more?
None.
I don't think so.
One more Arnold tape.
10 remain. The best and the baddest. We used to call them... Good guys and bad guys.
Good guys.
Times have changed. More and more, it's the ladies who are kicking ass and taking names.
Hey.
Regardless of the sex, though. With 10 heroes and 10 villains left, it begs the question.
Magic mirror on the wall.
It begs the question. Why am I the narrator when they could have gotten someone who spoke better?
Because I've got Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and I says...
Hasta la vista.
Hello, Don and Mike.
He's very brave.
Hey, Don and Mike. Radio.
Hey.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods. What's up, fellas?
I can't wait till Arnold has a stroke. Won't those tapes
oh
be great?
Oh, my God. Yeah, forget about that.
Hello.
You're up here.
Hey, how about Jack Nicholson from The Shining? Best villain ever.
Is he in there? That's a great villain.
I mean, look real quick. Jack.
That should be in there.
Number 25.
Oh, good. He's in there. Excellent.
Number 25.
Yeah, right. 25. Agreed.
Everybody's got a strong opinion.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, did Caster Troy make it from Face Off?
No.
It was Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, I know who you mean. Not a chance.
Oh.
Not a chance.
He was the best.
Face Off would never make this list. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike. That was a movie a lot of people actually enjoyed. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good day, sirs.
Hi.
Alex on Clockwork Orange.
Is he there,
Malcolm
Robbie?
McDowell.
Yes, he is.
Number 12, you're right.
I'm good.
Thank you.
The old in and out.
Number 12. But here's the thing. Okay, I'm with you on the Clockwork Orange, that guy, Alex, okay? Mm-hmm. He's villain number 12. Villain number 13 is HAL 9000 from 2001. Villain number 14 is the alien from the movie Alien.
And I think it's a woman.
You know what I disagree with is...
Female creature.
Check out villain number 5.
Well, hold on, I'm getting up to a point here. Number 15 is Ralph Fiennes, is the Nazi, or the guy in Schindler's List.
Oh, I mean, he was a great villain, but I don't know, it's almost like when you have a villain, it should be somebody who's is kind of a repeat visitor.
But don't you think that guy's a bigger villain than the computer in 2001?
Absolutely. You know, I thought Hal in 2001, I thought Hal started out good.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
He was like, good in the beginning.
Hitler.
He built good roads.
Number 5 is Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the worst villain of all.
I know what I was going to ask you about. What about Annie Wilkes in Misery?
Yeah, she's there. She's at number 17.
Okay.
And at number 20, the one that made me laugh out loud, Nan from the movie Bambi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's strange. Horrible.
And at number 20, Man,
because Man's in the movie Bambi. I was trying to kill Bambi's. Man kills Bambi's mother.
Killed the mother.
There's a lot
mother.
Of them way down. You know, you got De Niro and Taxi Driver at number 30.
Travis Bickle.
And that should be way, way, way up higher than that. Then you got the, 101 Dalmatians.
Oh.
Number 39, worst villain ever. However, at number 46, and this just has to be a condescending toss to our generation, Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Way too subjective.
Number 48 is Kevin Spacey and The Usual Suspects. And then number 50 is Denzel in Training Day. Anyway,
not a good list.
No.
Where's The Wicked Witch of the West?
Number 5?
4, isn't it?
4. Mm-hmm. Number 4, The Wicked Witch of the West.
Very good villain.
And Alan Leinwand.
No.
No, that's a joke.
Moving up.
Oh, that's a joke, Alan Leinwand. So anyway, that was last night on CBS. Now, listen, I know that we live in a society that's very internet savvy. A lot of you guys are on the computer, and we're going to have to ask during our next segment... for someone who's not been by a computer today. Because it's Craig Wilson Day, mm-hmm. and Craig Wilson's column in today's USA Today just is absolutely unworthy.
Oh, dear.
There's nothing in this that we could work with. There's nothing we could do. We couldn't even do like a Mad Lib with it. We, you know, you put it in a noun, a verb, or an adjective.
Couldn't do that.
Unusual. It's unusable.
Yeah.
So, what we've done is, we have a mystery column called I Love Mom's Gravy. And the question
this is a mystery column from the paper?
Well, here's the question. And please, no cheaters in this contest.
This was not a column written by Craig Wilson, is that right?
Well, it either was a column written by Craig Wilson,
right,
in a previous edition, or it is a column that has been cleverly crafted,
right,
by some people who work here on the show. And we do have some that we have written, which are not so over the top that you know that we wrote them.
Oh. Right.
But just in case of the times like this where the Craig Wilson feature in the paper is no good, we've got one called I Love My Mom's Gravy.
Very good.
And nice. We're going to read it to you in our next break.
A la Craig?
Yes, and give someone the chance to guess if it is a real column that's appeared in the past or if it's a fake one that we have just made up.
It is interesting.
Excellent. Okay, but we need someone who really is absolutely 100% on the line. As a matter of fact, let's just answer some of these phones so we can find somebody that we can trust for this contest. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don?
Yes, hi.
Hi. The American Film Institute is a D.C. organization. They're part of the Kennedy Center.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Thank you for that participation.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
I like the sounds of this girl. She sounds honest, I think.
Are you near a computer?
Well, I am, but I haven't gone online today. I'm just looking at my documents.
Very good. You want to play the game?
I do.
Okay, here's the deal. When we come back from the break, what's your name?
Elise.
And where are you from?
Gaithersburg.
Beautiful. So when we come back from the break, Mike and I will read you the Craig Wilson column, What is it? I Love My Mom's Gravy.
The Craig Wilson column that might not be a real column from Craig Wilson.
And it is your job to decide if, in fact, it is a real column or if it's a column that we've made up.
All right.
And if you're right, you'll win a DVD player.
Oh, my God. Okay.
A Toshiba DVD player.
And you know, right?
Courtesy of the American Film Institute. Yes, I do know.
And by the way, that list was terrible.
Yes, Rob knows too.
Rob knows too. Do you know Buzz?
I do not.
Okay. Buzz, is that so?
Here you go.
You don't?
But as long as Buzz is with me on the outside of the circle, I know. Like that. And can I guess?
Once we're done with it, yeah.
Very good.
Absolutely.
All right, good.
All right, then stay right there.
Okay.
And when we come back, it'll be Craig Wilson Wednesday. This is the only way that we can guarantee we can do this bit every week.
Fair enough.
Right. Because the column today, I mean, take a look at it. It's
lame.
Just a total piece of crap. It's about the internet and spam. The only good part is where he writes about something that can make his penis 3 inches larger. Although he doesn't really write it exactly that way.
So he doesn't. It's not funny.
No.
Right.
No. With the mail Earth help and my credit card, it could be enlarged immediately. Add 3 inches today. But, like, that's the only paragraph. That's it. So, we'll take a look. You got your paper over there?
I didn't because I ran in here.
I think I tossed it over there.
Ah, there it is.
You got it? Take a look at it during the break.
All right.
And you just, we decided we didn't think it was airworthy.
Right.
Take a look at it. Either way, we'll come back. Maybe she'll win the DVD player. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hey, what happened?
relaxes, and centers you. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, before we get to the Craig Wilson part of today's show, I want to mention that I think on our next break, we're giving away another trip to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air. Nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach starting Friday. Hooters girls on every flight. Call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. I'll tell you about that in just a second. So first, we get to the Craig. Cheryl the Big Dyke met Craig Wilson and spoke to him.
Wow. Really?
About our reading his columns on the show most Wednesdays.
Mm.
Here now is the wonderful Cheryl the Big Dyke. Hello,
hey, guys. How are my favorite radio fads?
We are doing great.
How are you, darling?
Hi, baby.
I'm wonderful and luscious. And, Mike, guess what?
What?
We weigh the same, exactly the same weight. 288. We're the same weight, Don, Mike, you and I.
Really?
Yeah, we need to go on a diet together, baby.
You can switch clothes.
I'm afraid we don't weigh the exact same thing, Cheryl.
Well, you gave me the vest from Wet.
I know, so. I know, but I am down. I am down this week.
I am down to
286.
Oh, yay! Man, I got my work cut out for me.
I'm still
then.
Embarrassed. The race is on. This is going to be embarrassing for like 3 months.
Hey, 2 pounds a week is the average.
Mentioning my weight, though.
Hey,
Cheryl.
To tell you, before Craig Wilson, Sunday night, I had like the hottest sex with one of your listeners, a lesbian.
Really?
I'm telling you, she's like 30. She's blonde. She's a hottie, and she's been listening to your show
really?
Since high school.
Where'd you meet? Where'd you pick her up?
Oh, we've been seeing each other at drag shows and bars for many, many years. But you,
drag shows.
Yeah, like drag queens.
Wow.
You know? Anyway, so yeah, it was pretty fun. And Don, I got to
tell you, Cheryl is plugged into the gay community in Washington, D.C.
And I got plugged in pretty good on Sunday night too.
So did she use?
I'm telling you, Don even thought about you in bed because I said me love sex, and I went, oh my God, Don says that.
Wow. So did
you were in bed with us, whether you knew it or not, baby.
So did she bend you over, or are you laying on your back?
We kind of bent each other over in different ways.
Wow. Cheryl, listen, we're up against the clock, so we need to know the info about Craig.
Of course, it's June, so it's Gay Pride Month, so this week is Gay Pride Week in Washington, and they had a panel Monday night of all the important gay leaders of the gay organizations and what our gay agenda is besides tea dance and brunch. And Craig was the moderator, and he was really good. He was actually pretty funny, good sense of humor and everything. And I walked up to him afterwards, and I walked over and I said, Mr. Wilson, and he turned around, and I said, I shook his hand, and I said, I want to talk to you for a second. Is that okay? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, I'm a known lesbian in the community. I'm an activist. I've been around for over 20 years, and people love me in this community. But I also have to tell you that I'm a radiophile. And he looked at me, and I said, I love Don and Mike. I am Cheryl the Big Dyke on the Don and Mike Show. And he and I said, and I'm here on a mission of diplomacy. I'm not here to make you angry or to piss you off or to cause problems. I'm here to build bridges because that's what I do.
And Cheryl, I got to tell you, you really do that for this show. Yeah. We appreciate it. We really do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mike. And so he shook my hand and I said, he goes, you know, I was going to go on their show one day, but then I was on hold and I heard something about eating Tootsie Rolls out of someone's butt to win a trip. And I said, I know, Craig. I heard the whole thing. He goes, and then they left this crazy long voicemail message on my phone.
Oh, he got the message. Great.
I said, yeah, I was listening when they did that, too. And he said, well, you know, I have to tell you, the readership of my column has gone up.
Sure.
Good for him. No surprise.
But
he's not mad at you. I said, Craig, you got to understand, it's shtick. They might be effing a-holes on the radio, but they're good guys off the radio, and they have nothing but hugs and love for our community.
You know, I really don't think... I think in the event that he was really pissed at it, I think we would have heard something, and we never do. I mean, we never hear anything about it.
The reason we thought there was anything was that it was really awkward timing that as soon as we started reading that, the editors at USA Today pulled Rudy off our show.
Yeah, that might have been weird. But not Craig himself, I don't think.
He was a little concerned about USA Today getting angry with him, and that I would understand because it's his livelihood. But I also told him, I said, you guys have sent Homo Joe and me to so many events, and, you know, you cover the events with a twist, but you're covering us. And you are covering the community. You don't hate us. I said, it's shtick. Get a sense of humor. Laugh. Enjoy it. It's
funny, Craig, and call them on the air. Please, please call them on
the
air.
That reminds me, isn't it that time of year for one of those parades?
Yeah, when is
the... Well, I'm here Saturday. I'm going to be in it on Saturday at DuPont Circle. Come on down.
Well, you know, we got to give her...
I'll wear the leather vest for you, Mike.
We got to give her the... Cheryl, you got to come down Friday to get the tape recorder done.
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah. Yeah, you've done that before. We've had you and Joe.
Well, I did it with Homo Joe. Homo Joe is usually the queen of the day, and I was just following along.
Well, you know, if you want to do it, Joe, you want to do it on your own, but do you remember some of the guys we get on those tapes?
We always love those gay day parades.
All right, well, I'll come on down the station and get it then.
All right,
very cool.
He was really, really nice. He was cordial. He was friendly. He has no animosity towards you, and I don't think he really has a problem with you doing it because it's helping his readership, and I just want to tell you guys that... Yeah, I've been thinking about you, even though I haven't been able to call, and I wanted to get that in to be a bridge builder.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks, you're always looking out for us.
Of course.
I think I'll probably go have some hot sex with that hot blonde again sometime. Yeah, sir, I'm going to try it. And you guys, I'll think about you, even though I will not be riding the baloney pony in this particular bed, unless you can take it off and put it in the drawer.
I got a theory about her that she's not all the way lesbo.
Yeah, I've always had that theory. That
well, I changed my name to Cheryl the Bi-Dyke, remember?
All right, Cheryl, hold on. We'll get you that tape recorder. Hold on a second.
Okay, guys. All right, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Hold on a second. That is Cheryl the Big Dyke,
longtime friend of this show.
You know, and really what she says is true. Out of all of the groups that we talk about, really, I know we do a lot of homo stuff and lesbian stuff. Gays in one group pretty much get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And have for a very, very long time.
And Craig Wilson, well, first off, listen, he's got no right to be pissed. He's writing a column in a newspaper.
Right.
I mean, you're putting yourself out there.
If he did say that about the readership, then he also falls into the category of getting it. And in that case, then I call on Craig to make his columns as gay as he possibly
can. It's raining asses, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I think I know who.
Here is Homo Joe.
Hey, Donna, Mike, Homo Joe here. I would love to do that with Cheryl the Big Dyke.
It's raining anuses.
Are you all plugged in? Excuse me, to the gay pride thing.
I'm very plugged in.
All right, Joe, then get your tape recorder. Do what you guys have done in the past. Do the tag team thing.
Would you like to update us on your sex life, too, Joe?
What Puerto Rican boy are you boning now?
Well, it's a combination of a couple different guys.
Wow.
Oh, I'm not being just to one. I'm even taking some Caucasian, you know?
Wow. Lube is falling from the sky right now.
it's a big weekend for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, being down here by the Naval Academy is kind of fun, too. You know, this pretty little sailor voice.
Pretty little sailor voice. Joe, who's the latest boy that you've had your way with? And I don't mean boy, I mean young man.
Yeah, here we go, Spanish, Roberto.
Roberto. Yeah. And now, what about the regular Caucasian? What's his name?
That would be Tom.
That would be who?
Tom.
Tom.
He's a lieutenant at the Pentagon. He's a nice player.
Lieutenant Tom.
You know what that's like? That's like that movie with Kevin Costner and
right.
Gene Hackman.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember the guy that was really in love with Gene Hackman and didn't like the fact that Gene Hackman was boning what's that crazy actress's name?
Oh, I'm blocking on it now.
You know, she was nuts.
Sean Young,
yeah, right.
Sean Young.
Yeah, the movie's No Way Out with Kevin Costner.
Great movie. And you love a man in uniform, don't you, Joe?
Oh, I do, because, you know, I used to be in the Navy. You know, I used to see all that Navy stuff, you know?
Yeah. Were you ever at sea?
Oh, yeah, I was on the Mount Whitney. So I was on the Admiral staff.
Of course he was on Mount Whitney. That's what Bobby Brown does a lot.
Well, I was part of what's called Com's Second Fleet, which is the Admiral's Second Fleet.
Really? What was the Whitney? What was that?
It was a communications vessel.
Oh,
and I had all the Admirals have their Com Tech Tour. And
why does everything he's saying sound gay right now?
It is, because it is so gay. and fun running the boys on the top of the deck, you know, like, you know?
Oh, my God.
Out under the stars. Jesus Christ. Joe, what was your rank? Were you just a seaman?
I was a radioman first class.
A radio man first class?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I used to do the communications, you know, communicate with the ship to shore and
all
the other
stuff. Ships at sea. Now, did you have the regular white Navy uniform?
Oh,
Yes, I did. A little slap in the back and all that kind of thing with the easy accent.
We have never got, you know what? This is a, this counts as Joe giving us a, you know, a new gift here.
Yeah.
We did not realize you had a naval career.
Oh, yeah, I did 8 years, believe it or not. And the only reason I got out because my ex-wife told me she was going to leave me, and so I came home and found her in bed with my best friend. So
that's right. Joe went gay after he was straight.
But when you were in the Navy, did you know, I mean, did you have any gay experiences?
Well, yeah, I had a couple of guys that let him do me, you know.
Oh, okay. That was nice. Helping the troops.
Those regular, you know. Rendezvous after the movie, you know, they had on the ship, you know.
The movie, on the ship.
Spartacus.
So you never know with me what comes out and what has happened.
Yeah. I think I know what comes out.
Yeah.
Jesus, Joe.
Got milk, you know?
Man, oh man, got milk. He's wound up today.
Yeah.
That's why he called so quick. He's ready.
He's got Roberto and Tom.
And he's, you know, it's the Gay Pride festivities this weekend, and he's going to hook up with Cheryl and, you know, get us lots of great people.
And don't you have a band this Friday night, Mike?
Yes. Bring out all your gay friends.
I'm going to bring some people from the office and a few gay people this
Fantastic. Week. Fantastic. Right? I'd love to see you there.
Actually, I'd like to mention that Friday night, Mike O'Mara's Crab Blues Band is going to be at Fast Eddie's in the Fairfax Circle Center in beautiful Fairfax, and it's a gay pride show.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Mike has got a special invitation to all gays and lesbians.
Why not?
Come on in.
Go for it, Don.
As a matter of fact, you'll see me there.
There will be no discounts, but we welcome everyone.
Okay.
I'm sitting in on
the bar that leather vest back for sure.
I'm sitting in with the band this week.
That's right.
And you won't want to miss me at Fast Eddie's.
No.
Join me and all my gay and lesbian friends as Mike O'Mara salutes gay pride.
Amen, brother. Fantastic.
Join me in requesting Mike and the band to sing your favorites like YMCA.
Yeah, we haven't learned that one yet.
It's Raining Men. Come see me blow my tuba with Mike and his Crab Blues Band Friday night at Fast Eddie's in the Fairfax Circle Center in beautiful Fairfax, Virginia.
Gay Pride night.
Relax. Go to it.
Mike salutes Gay Pride.
No problem, Joe. I'll have to throw something together.
I don't think you'll have to work that hard.
I'd like to do a little soft show on the side if you like.
Sure, Joe. Knock yourself out.
How's that gonna go over at Fast Eddie?
I have no idea. Well, you know, it depends. You know, when you get pool players.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, man.
Thinking of the movie The Accused. I don't want anything bad to happen.
It's not a problem. Hey, Joe's a tough guy. He was in the Navy.
That's right.
That's right. I can handle it.
All right, Joey. Well, listen, come down on Friday and get the tape recorder, and we look forward to hearing the tape. This is always good for at least a couple of segments once a year. The festivities at the Gay Pride Parade.
Oh, it's fantastic. Fascinating.
And all right.
In a weird way, we're supporting it because we give the event airtime. And Joe interviews all of these crazy,
interesting people.
Crazy queer guys and girls. You know, some of them on stilts.
Yeah, big ones, small ones, you know. Deep boy dressed up as men, dressed up as women, women dressed up as men.
Right. Nuts. All right, hold on, Joe.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Lots of nail polish and mullets.
And listen, as long as all the gays are calling today, hello?
Hello?
Hey. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Don. I hope you feel better. Like, last time you were sick. I heard you were sick.
Yeah, I feel much better. Tom, how do you spell gay?
G-A-R-Y.
Gary.
All right, Tom.
How about pride?
No. Give me another one.
Pride.
No.
All right, I got a word for you.
Pride.
Pride.
P-A-R-E-Y.
There you
Perry.
Go.
Perry.
Hey, Mike.
Yes?
Hey, where's Charlie?
He's not here, Tom.
And we got one more very famous faggot calling us. Hello?
Hey, Robert the Mailman.
Hey, Robert. Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, I got to cancel tomorrow, fellas.
Well, I thought you were going to come in tomorrow and finally... Remember in Black History Month when Robert had all the material that Mike was uncomfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to let him go with it. Like,
I got more stuff, man. I've been writing like crazy, but I have to work tomorrow, so I have to bump myself. Aren't you going to be jam-packed anyway?
Yeah, we are, but I had room for you. But we'll move it to next week.
Great, man. But Something hit me last night. I got to talk to, I want to talk to Joe on the air because I think Joe is the total opposite of me. You know what I mean? As far as...
Are you angry at Joe, Robert?
You know, I love Joe, but he's actually older than I am. He's white. I don't know how much money he actually makes, but he probably doesn't make as much as I do at my part-time job. And it just hit me last night. I got to talk to this guy. What is on his mind? You know,
all right, well, we'll do it when you come down. Well, what day do you want to come down next week, Robert?
Thursday or Friday.
All right, let's make it Thursday.
For you.
Let's make it Thursday.
Okay, I'll be in there.
All right, bring your most wanted list and all that other stuff you had.
Hey, did Mike get my gift?
Yeah, I did. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Robert.
And did you get the article done? Did you like the article?
What was the article again? You refresh my... Oh, Mama's Baby's Friend? Yeah. Now, see, Robert... You bring up stuff on the radio that I don't think you want me to discuss on the radio.
I can't. Hey, he pleaded guilty.
Okay. Do you remember that whole thing a long time ago when Robert told me something in confidence and I mentioned, he said, don't say anything about the radio?
Yeah, it was some sort of all sorts of high crimes and stuff like that.
Murder.
Right.
Maybe it was Mama's girlfriend had her husband murdered.
And anyway, it was. And Robert told me in confidence that his. Baby's mama had told him something about this, and I said...
That the baby's mama's friend had her husband killed, and she's pleaded guilty?
And I said...
Yeah, I gave him the article last week.
I said, do the right thing, and that's what I was telling him, go to the cop.
And the gift that Robert got me were those little Saddam Hussein playing cards, you know, with the ace of spades.
If you know anything about a murder, go to the freaking cops, but as it turns out...
I didn't know anything about it. I was just saying, she was like, you know...
But you know,
the bitch wasn't pregnant anyway. So
you knew what she had told you, and last week, out of the blue, Lisa comes in and says, "Oh, Robert was here. He wanted me to give you this article from the Washington Post."
Mm. Right, and that was the whole thing he was telling you about.
There's like mugshots of his baby's mama there,
and there not his baby's
girlfriend.
It's the girlfriend.
Baby's mama's girlfriend. Yeah.
And the hitman.
So is everybody in jail that should be now, Robert?
Everybody's in jail.
So everybody can breathe a sigh of relief now.
Oh, well, I wasn't scared in the first place, but, you know, it's a whole long story. I tell you guys, I want to also give you a couple of comments on my thoughts about the war, because I think you'll find it interesting.
All right, Robert, it's a day next Thursday.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
And I'll also do the homo parade. Not...
Bye. Bye, Robert. Bye-bye.
Sometimes I have to hold myself back not to ask what your thoughts about the war. This year,
Mike, been. One more famous faggot's on the phone.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, God! Look, hey, God!
Here's another gay man.
Here's another D-sucker.
Yeah, but did you hear me speak last night at Spartacus?
Did you hear him speak last night at Spartacus? It's a little difficult to understand. What will you be wearing this weekend at the Gay Pride festivities?
I'll just wear my shorts and my t-shirt. Why?
Dennis, I know we do a lot of kidding about Gay Pride a month.
Yeah.
But did you know that June is also Dental Pride Month?
Oh, well, no, I didn't.
When are you going to get those dog teeth fixed?
Well, the last time we left, you were going to look for a dentist.
Oh, that's right. We were going to look for a dentist. Okay.
Is the smell bothering you?
Huh?
Is the smell bothering you?
Oh, no. Hey, I got this Biotin mouthwash, and my breath is always fresh.
What kind of mouthwash?
Huh?
What kind of...
Biotin.
Biotin.
Yeah.
It's for
dry mouth.
After you fellas arrange for all his dental work, maybe you could also chew his food for him.
You want to plug your website, Dennis?
Oh, DennisMusic.com.
All right, beautiful. Talk to you later, Dan.
Hey, Don. Yeah, what do I do?
Well, we got to fly, Dennis. What?
I know, Bob. I sent an email to David Letterman.
Yes?
And hopefully they'll let me sell for Alan Coker.
Very good. I'm sure that'll be happening.
Come in next Thursday. Just come in next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Rob's only idea of Dennis's dental work is the same dental work that was done to the abominable snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rob won't accept anything less than Dennis
yanking
having...
them all out
with none left.
No teeth. You know, we never got to the Craig Wilson thing. Let me see. Becky, are you still there?
Yes, Lisa's still here.
All right, Elisa.
Elise.
Well, it says Becky. Sorry about that. Elise, give us a fast commercial. Who am I kidding with that fast? They're all the same. They're all 10 minutes. Give us one 10-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay? Hey, Donnie. Hold on a second. Craig Wilson coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our phone computer's gone a little screwy. Is Leroy there on
still
the
there
phone?
On, all right. On the top, wait, on line 7, Roy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, line 1.
On line 1, good. Hi, Leroy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good, you have a comment, Leroy.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Perfectly.
Quite well, yep.
Right, so good afternoon, gentlemen. Hi. Persons. I'm glad to be listening to the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say, as an African-American, being that I am educated, have put myself through school, and you could obviously hear that I don't engage in, let's say, urban colloquialisms when I speak.
Mm-hmm. You think that's made a difference in your career, Leroy?
It's made a huge difference in my career.
Yeah. Mm.
And a lot of the difference also comes from engaging in ass play and listening to the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, well, good, yeah. Good, that's great. You really acquitted yourself, Leroy, and how proud you must be. Too bad, Leroy, you just sounded so smart and ended up being so stupid.
The Don and Mike Show. Most all gays listen. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, as we mentioned, we got a bunch of new calls today from the burping guy.
As we mentioned, today's USA Today. As always, the newspaper is worthless.
Yes.
But Craig Wilson's column, of no use to us.
Right.
So on the phone now is Elise. Here she is from Maryland. Hi, Elise.
Hey.
Now, we're going to put you on hold, and you're going to be able to hear down the telephone line the Craig Wilson article that we're reading. It's not from today's newspaper. So we're telling you that right up front.
Okay.
It's either one that we have pulled from an emergency file, or it's one that we've written. And I'll tell you, we do have about 5 that we've written. Robbie and I have gotten together in about 5 of them that we consider to be not too over the top.
Okay.
Written in such a fashion that we think they're pretty similar to what Craig would write.
Mm-hmm.
And the test at hand for you is to be the one who decides if this is real or not.
Okay.
And it's called I Love My Mom's Gravy. So hold on and we'll get back to you. If you guess correctly, you win the DVD player.
Okay.
And without further ado, 20.
I love my mom's gravy.
Nothing more than feeling.
I live in a small house with an even smaller kitchen.
Trying to fold.
There are no expensive granite counters in my life. Comfortable for one cook. Cozy with 2. Cramped with 3.
Teardrops.
I have long subscribed to the mantra that too many cooks spoil the broth. So I'm always happy to let my partner Jack have the run of the place. But on Thanksgiving, I have no choice. Neither does my mother, who is also allergic to kitchen.
It's usually about 3 in the afternoon, half an hour before we all sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. When we 3 cooks converge for our annual banging of the Cephalon.
Never come again.
Jack mashes the potatoes.
How you bet.
Under the watchful eye of my mother, who every year issues the same edict. Don't whip them as much as you did last year.
Mom makes the gravy. Which I have to admit, she's very good at. With a martini in one hand and a metal whisk in the other, she stirs and stirs and stirs the drippings and flour and potato water in the roasting pan.
And every year without fail, when Jack announces we're only minutes away from calling everyone to the table, she says the gravy isn't anywhere near ready. Not even close.
This never pleases Jack. As crowded a kitchen as ours is, there's always room for a little tension.
Meanwhile, I'm in the corner carving the turkey. No one bothers me because no one knows how to carve a turkey. Dad took that skill with him to the grave. So I'm left alone to hack away. And hack away I do.
As you can see, we have this all worked out. A fine-tuned kitchen humming along like any five-star restaurant. Lots of things can't fall apart.
Just as we were doing our thing a couple of years ago, a terrible clatter came from the dining room.
My Lord. Murphy, our dog, was covered in Grandma Wilson's fruit salad, which had been sitting on the sideboard. That was until Murphy decided she wanted a taste and stripped the bowl with her paws.
Fruit salad was everywhere. Murphy was licking whipped cream and mandarin oranges off her beard.
God. Hold on, reset.
Oh, Jesus.
Reset. Let me just say, don't be fooled by the fact that that word Cephalon was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I knew what the word is.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing along.
Uh-huh.
But still, is this real? Or did we write this? Back to the final word. Hey, Craig Wolfman. Oh, I think. Oh, it's my turn. Sorry.
Yes. Time for you to take the bowl into the kitchen.
I took the bowl into the kitchen to recover what I could. Guests don't need to know what's happening behind the scenes. Chose another bowl and was about to transfer what was left of the salad when my mother said what only a mother could say at a time like this.
Oh, you're not going to use that bowl, are you?
I snapped. I used a word I'd never used in front of my mother. I used it as an adjective. I told her if she was so unhappy with my selection, she could find her own, well, bowl.
I couldn't believe what had come out of my mouth. I froze, waiting for the inevitable. Craig Wilson, I didn't bring you up to talk like that.
Her reaction was exactly the opposite. Mom started hopping up and down, crossed her legs, and laughed so hard that gin spilled into the roasting pan.
Best Thanksgiving gravy we ever had.
Yeah, there you go.
So many, so many things that make this one great. You've got my partner, Jack.
Yeah.
You've got Mom.
Fruit salad and Murphy the dog.
Yeah. You've got, yeah, the Mom.
Jim.
Jim. You've got him saying something to her and Craig Wilson, I didn't bring you up to talk like that.
Right.
He didn't know how to carve a turkey. He's left alone to hack away.
Murphy licking whipped cream and mandarin oranges off her beard.
The question now, and Robbie, I think we need a timpani here. Was that real? Or was that something that was cooked up by the Gags Gang?
All right.
I will tell you that we have written five of these, waiting for this day. We also have many of Craig's former columns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do.
So, the question for you, Elise.
Hello?
Yes.
I love
my mom's gravy.
Based on the fact that beer or gin makes great turkey gravy, I'm going to have to say it's 100% on the money, Craig Wilson.
Let's go to Buzz Burbank. Buzz.
I'm sorry. I think you guys wrote it. That's my theory.
Mike.
I know you guys wrote it. I guarantee you guys wrote it.
Are you ready? Elise is a winner.
Wow.
That's a real Craig column? That is a real column.
Wow.
I thought that was Rob Spiewak.
From the Craig Wilson book, It's the Little Thing.
Rock.
My God.
An appreciation of life's simple pleasures.
I love being wrong about that.
Excellent.
I really do. That is great. Fantastic.
Now, we've got a bunch that we've written.
Man, I just thought, it's so funny because I immediately started projecting Rob into this.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Elise.
Wow.
Listen to this, honey. Here you go. You won a Toshiba DVD player. courtesy of the American Film Institute, last night AFI revealed... Why am I reading this? It was last night.
Yeah.
You won a Toshiba DVD player.
Thank you. That's incredible.
That's one of the best ever.
Yeah. Yeah, now we've got many options to go with, Craig. We've got the fake ones,
uh-huh.
or the fake ones that we've made up.
Right. Well, laughs harder.
We've also got a thought for a couple of weeks from now, doing a Mad Libs.
Right.
If his column, the content,
right.
sucks... We got a contest where you can call in with your Craig Wilson ad lib. We'll say, give us a Craig Wilson noun, a Craig Wilson verb.
Very good, very good.
A Craig Wilson adverb.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And put the spots in the column, so that's no matter cool. what he writes,
right.
we're going to end up with a column every week.
Fantastic.
But good for Elise. She actually figured out it was real.
Wow, good job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
It was too dead on. That's why I thought it was fake.
I Love My Mom's Gravy
Man.
By Craig Wilson.
Jim falling into the gravy.
All right. Well, there you go. Congratulations, Elise. Wow. Now, it's time for more love. And here's what we're doing. We have a trip to Myrtle Beach to give away. Trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a 2-night, 3-day stay at Beach Cove Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air. Hooters girls on every flight. For reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT. Or go to HootersAir.com. It's important to note that Hooters Air flights are public charters operated by Pace Airlines. See tour participants for full terms and conditions of travel. What this means is it's a real airline right. run by real pilots and everything and right. real technicians.
Rob, show them what you just showed me.
But there's Hooters girls on every flight.
Wow. Right. They're flying the plane also.
So we are giving away a trip to Myrtle Beach. How are we giving it away?
All we found was some orange shorts.
Well, it's a gift for your mom or for your dad. And I want to involve our friend Buzz.
Yes?
It's time for Buzz Makes the Sexy Call for You.
Ah.
Let's say your parents need a second honeymoon. You call us and tell us why. And we need to hear from just the dads out there. There are just the... Sons and daughters.
Not the dads, sons and daughters.
Don't need to hear from the dads. We need to hear from sons and daughters on why your mom and dad need a sexy second honeymoon. And then after we select the one that we like the best,
Buzz is going to make the sexy call.
Buzz will call to the mom.
Excellent.
And talk sexy to the mom.
Happy to.
And say it, tell them they won the trip.
Yes.
Wonderful.
But Buzz, you really got to go heavy on your, hey, baby.
You got it.
It's been a long time, baby, since you've gotten away. And
your content will be based on the people calling in with their stories about mom and dad.
I understand.
So what we're looking for now, and this is a selfless act.
Yes.
For you, the listener. You're calling to win a trip for your mom and dad.
That's right.
To go to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air.
Cool.
What could be more romantic?
And it's a great way to get Buzz doing his sexy voice again, because the mom that we select receives a phone call from Buzz. And Buzz,
I don't know which is better, the phone call from Buzz or the trip on Hooters Air.
Give us an example. Let's say that you're calling, I'll use Robbie's mom here as an example. You're calling Sharon.
Right.
I'm Sharon. Hello?
Hey, baby.
Yes, this is Sharon. May I help you?
Hey, Sharon, you sexy mama, you.
Who is this?
This is Buzz. Calling from the Don and Mike show.
Are you selling me something?
No, not at all. I'm here to tell you, you won something.
Yeah,
you won something big.
And you got to tell her that she's won because she's a sexy lady.
You won because you're one sexy mama.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll work.
And imagine Buzz saying that to your mom.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Call us now at 877-365.
I'm feeling queasy with that thought.
36,
not
36. And we'll select the mom that we think is the most deserving. Then Buzz will make the sexy call.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, you're going to like it in the end. I mean, so to speak.
Yeah, really?
That's
you're
what
gonna,
I say.
Will that be involved in the call? You never know.
You're going to like
Depends
it.
Depends on what the kids say.
You're going to like it in the end.
And Mike, if you're feeling at all queasy about that.
Mm-hmm. About Buzz calling my mother? That would disturb me.
Well, Buzz won't be calling your mom.
Thank God.
I'm good with moms.
But if you're feeling queasy about that,
mm-hmm.
let me just remind you about this.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths. And that's what I like in a character.
So,
He's very brave.
There you go.
Courageous.
So see, now you don't feel queasy about the mom thing. Now you feel queasy about the...
I have total equilibrium now.
There you go. Now you're queasy everywhere.
I'm fine. I'm okay. Fine. I'm just going to puke.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't love you, but I like you. Respect you enough not to want to lie to you.
Oh, don't. Stop. Now isn't the time for talk, darling.
Moaned the fiercely aroused young socialite daughter of a prominent jurist. Her blouse was open and she ripped at the gap with trembling fingers, pulling away the silken fabric so that the ruby nipples rising erectly from the midst of those glorious unclad spheres of ivory splendor were lavishly disclosed, surging upwards with ragged wantonness, begging for further fondles.
The Don and Mike Show. Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I know what you're thinking.
Hey, what happened?
It's even better than a bushel basket of ass fruit. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here's the deal. We're giving away a trip every day this week. But I want to mention, even on Friday, when we're not here because of Barty's graduation, we're giving away a trip on Friday as well. We're going to try doing this now when we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to buy your affection.
Amen.
You were contesting. I think every time we do a best of show,
very good.
It'd be some prize, either a trip somewhere or cash.
Oh, good idea.
We have the Hooters air trips every day this week. Also tomorrow, God, I've got so many goddamn papers over here.
Tammy's going nuts, giving us lots of stuff to give away.
Tomorrow, along with the Hooters trip, we're also giving away a trip for two to Los Angeles.
Ooh.
To attend a star-studded ! Hollywood party at the Highlands nightclub on August 23. That's from !
That is great.
And their new summer lineup, including Nearly Famous 2 and Celebrities Uncensored, that's on !
Where'd we get all the stuff all of a sudden? I guess it's Swapes.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, they all just come in at once.
It's great.
Either we're giving...
I like it when it's like this.
Either we're giving away condoms...
Right.
...or nothing.
I'll tell you one thing, and I'm just going to put in this request somewhere, you know, it's been so long, and it's been too long, and it hurts me that we don't give it away anymore.
A chicken?
Chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's either condoms or nothing or everything.
Delicious fried chicken is what we should give away.
Mm-hmm. And right now it happens to be everything we're giving away.
Right.
And today it's a trip to a Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air. Everybody understands the play on this. It's Buzz
mm-hmm.
making the sexy call to your mom,
right?
Who deserves a second honeymoon.
And a sexy call.
Let's go through some of these calls to see if anybody, Buzz,
yeah.
sways you.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they talk you into making the call.
Yeah, why this person needs
yeah.
the vacation.
Got it. Hi, Don and Mike. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Scott.
Scott, why should sexy Buzz call your mom?
Well, not only are they great parents, but they kind of got ripped off for their honeymoon. My father grew up in Philadelphia and met my mother at a summer camp, but she was living in Clinton, Missouri, small town. And he had to fly out there, and they were going to drive back. So their honeymoon consisted of being in a U-Haul, going across country, stopping at all these flea bag motels. And unfortunately... when they got back, they found
Anybody
out
else
that
bored?
That's a long story. Right,
hold on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Hold on. Didn't have a honeymoon.
Hold on. You know, he's a tough
not kid. Interest.
I know that her book comes out on Monday.
Right. Very exciting.
And I guess that she writes all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
About Bill and his genitals.
Talks
Monica.
About all the stuff that people would be curious
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you know, and I listen. I want to tell you something. I hate books. I've gone on record.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I hate books.
Right.
But even I'm going to buy the book.
Wow. I want to know what she has to say. I mean, that's going to be incredible.
And I'm going to buy it and come in and we're going to read it on the air.
Very good.
We're going to have a little mini play.
Excerpt.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Matt from Jersey.
Okay, Matt. Why should Sexy Buzz call your mom?
There's a few reasons. The first is that my parents haven't slept in the same room the whole time I've been born.
Wow.
I'm 21.
Wow, that's not bad.
Mm. And they love each other?
Yeah, they get along great. My mom's excuse is that my dad snores too loud.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my mom has a thyroid problem, and she's going through menopause, so God knows what her hormones are doing right now.
So you think they need a good escape?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, my dad works real hard, and, you know, he's got diabetes, so he's always tired at the end of the week, and they don't get a chance to relax.
Excuse me.
Dom was moved. He was actually emotional about that story.
Get it together.
Come on.
The inside of my nose, I swear to God, is as raw and as irritated as the inside of Homo Joe's rectum.
That's one of the elements of this?
Yeah. Oh. It's just, and much like with Joe, constant blowing. all right, Buzz, did you like Matt's tale?
Not a bad story.
All right,
I do.
All right, hold on. Let's hear a couple.
I thought it sucked.
come on.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Sort of.
Hello?
Speak to us.
There you go.
Come on now.
Didn't happen.
There. Come on. Hello, Don and Mike. Hi.
Come on.
Hello, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen. Why should Sexy Buzz call your mom?
Well, first of all, Don, like your brother, my parents are from Wisconsin, and they took their honeymoon up in, what's that place called up in Wisconsin?
Oh, the Wisconsin Dells?
The Dells.
Yes.
Wisconsin Dells?
Not only that, but
What is the Wisconsin Dells?
It is the biggest trailer park in the world, and if you're anywhere in the Chicagoland area, anywhere from Chicago to Milwaukee,
right,
you see these misleading signs, and I saw them when I was a kid that say, come vacation at the beautiful Wisconsin Dells.
Yes.
Yep. One time, my parents actually took us there.
Right.
It's a trailer camp. It's a trailer park.
At least a camp.
Now, you've seen the signs, right?
I've been there, actually.
White Trash Haven.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked, because now I have my answer.
And not only did they get a crappy honeymoon, but I also put every single one of my dad's gray hairs on his head. And so I think in order to pay him back for putting up with me throughout the years, they just need some sort of a vacation.
All right, hold on. Yeah, Wisconsin Dells, that works because we know about that.
Yeah.
Don and Mike, hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, turn your radio down, please. Who is this?
My name is Lynn.
All right, Lynn, why should Sexy Buzz call your mom?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
To make a long story short, my mother and father have been completely selfless to my sister and I over the last 30 years and have never taken a vacation on their own since their honeymoon. And about 3 months ago, my mother's being treated for a neurological condition, and her medication induced complete psychosis. So she ended up in the hospital for about 8 weeks.
We
didn't know whether we were going to ever get my mother back again.
Wow.
Did she completely wig out?
She completely wigged out. We saw Fred and Barney Flintstone on the wall. We saw water coming out of the floor.
Mike, I think, listen, I don't want to sway anybody. I think we got a winner, and we have a tape. Your mom's first name is?
Rosemary.
Rosemary?
Rosemary.
We have a tape of Rosemary. Here she is.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths, and that's what I like in that character.
So, there it is.
I want to a T.
Rosemary.
So
technically, you're Rosemary's baby.
I am.
You raised me on that one.
Rosemary's baby from Philadelphia.
So is your mom nuts now, or is she
now? Absolutely. Mom came back. She turned around in about 6 weeks, and cognitively, she is all there, and she knows who we are. And I think her and my father deserve a break from this.
just before you put her on hold, I wanted to ask, Fred Flintstone on the wall?
Fred Flintstone on the wall.
Like she just saw a cartoon or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Listen, Buzz.
Yeah.
We don't have time to take all these other calls.
I understand. And no, you really.
I'd go with the mentally ill woman.
We can stop there.
Absolutely. Well, she's not anymore. She had a problem.
She's well now.
You know? once a tard, always a tard. Although, you know, you're right. She's not. Who knows if she ever wore the tennis shoes with lights in them?
This call could push her over the edge again.
Although, you know what? I did have that thought. Yesterday, I had an awful lot of time on my hands and being sick and nothing to do. I watched a great movie. I saw it, Mike, during the break. What About Bob? With Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And then I watched a little bit of About a Boy with Hugh Grant.
About a Boy.
And at one point, Hugh Grant takes this kid out to buy him new sneakers.
Right.
And they're the kind that have lights in them.
The lights in them. There you go.
I thought right away.
Retard. Kids are...
No, he's not retarded.
But he's not. Kids are retarded.
There are plenty of kids that have those, yeah, those little kids.
Buzz, who would you like to call?
Oh, let's call Rosemary's mama.
Okay, Rosemary.
Let's call Mama Rosemary.
Okay, and that would be Lynn?
Lynn's mom, yes.
Okay, need that number.
Rosemary's mother.
All right, Buzz, hold on. Now, Buzz, be very sexy. You're going to have to mention the fact...
Work the crazy part in.
Mention the fact that she's had some mental illness, that she saw Fred Flintstone on the wall.
Water on the floor.
That there was water on the floor, but
right.
She is damn sexy. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance for intercourse on this trip.
Yeah, really tweak it up.
Get her on the line.
Wouldn't it be great if all travel agencies could advertise like that? And there's a good chance of intercourse on the trip.
Don, it's busy.
Who's this? Oh, hi, Robbie.
How you doing?
Who's on the line here?
Hi, Mike. It's Rob Spiewak. How are you?
Oh, Rob. How are you?
Give my best to Buzz.
I will. Buzz, Rob's on the line.
Hey, tell him I said hello.
Say hi to Rob.
I'll try one more time. She might be talking to Wilma.
Betty?
Mr. Slate?
I'm here. She's going to get somebody mad here. Gazoo.
That's what ruined the Flintstones.
It did. Agreed.
The great Gazoo.
Gazoo.
Listen, not to lecture here, but you don't have a family from the Stone Age, and you throw in a guy from outer space.
No.
It don't work.
You don't need it.
It just don't work.
How did you feel about the other celebrity guest, like Stoney Curtis?
I could live with that.
And Marg Rock?
And Marg Rock was great.
Yeah. It was all fine. But you don't... here's a ring. Robbie, obviously, her name is Rosemary.
Hi, I'm looking for Rosemary. Thank you. Getting her.
Very good.
Daughter's name is Lynn.
Yeah. Rosemary's mother says... Oh, that's Sylvia's mother. Is a Sylvia, thing. Right.
For another 10 minutes, please.
And she has won a contest for you, but we need you to come on the air. Can you come on the air with us? Okay, hold on. When you hear that voice, you'll be on the air.
Let me get Lynn here first. Hey, Lynn? Lynn? Hi, we're going to get Mom on now, and then I'll conference you guys after Buzz tells her the good news.
You got it.
Okay, hold on a second, please. And Rob, we got the love music. And Buzz, you ready?
Yeah, ready.
So she knows she's going on the air?
Absolutely. All right,
it's line 5. Okay, hello, Rosemary?
Yes.
Hi, Rosemary. I want you to say hi to a man named Buzz.
Hi to a man named Buzz.
Hey, Rosemary. Hey, baby.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Welcome back to reality.
Pardon?
I said, welcome back to reality,
baby.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you are one hot mama.
She said that?
That's what I hear.
But who has said that?
You making gravy right now?
Yes.
I'd love to try that.
Yeah, very good. Excellent.
I'd love for you to tuck me in at night.
Is she there laughing? I can hear her laughing.
No, that's not. She's on another line.
She's standing by in the soundproof room waiting to come into the room.
Those are my friends, Don and Mike. But never mind, then. This is about you and me right now. I hear you are in need of a honeymoon, Rosemary.
She said that? Probably she'd say that.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Put some stone back in that Fred Flintstone.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. How would you like to take a trip on Hooters Air with your husband in Myrtle Beach?
I've not even heard of that before.
Well, you will now.
Myrtle Beach or Hooters Air?
Pardon?
Myrtle Beach or Hooters Air?
Myrtle Beach.
Rosemary, something tells me that the sexiness of this man, Buzz, is not oozing through the telephone the way that it should be. You should be trembling right now. You should be making water right now.
I need to not be, not that.
What's that?
What, Rosemary?
I said my knees are knocking.
Knees are knocking. Knees That's are a good knocking. Thing.
That sounds
That's
hot.
Well, continue telling her about her prize.
You are one sexy mama, and you're flying on Hooters Air to Myrtle Beach for a real honeymoon. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And Buzz, tell her the part about, no separate beds.
And there won't be any separate beds on this trip. trip. This trip is for love.
Okay.
I wanted to light the fire.
How does Second time around, right?
Does that sound good to you, baby?
Second time around?
Sure. It's always better the second time around.
Okay.
You serve steak with that shake?
Tell her she can grind up her Prozac and put it in a nice mimosa.
No, I think we'll leave that out.
Oh, she can hear me. I didn't realize that.
Is it time to bring Lynn back in yet into the room?
Sure.
Well, Buzz, talk just a little sexy here to Rosemary.
See if you can win her over, Buzz. I don't think you're winning her over, even though she has technically won the prize.
You sound so strict, Rosemary. I'm a bad boy.
It must be,
Spank me.
Thank you, Buzz.
I'm also dirty. Wash me.
See, now that's Buzz committing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Lynn was one lucky baby.
Certainly was.
You know what I mean.
She sure is.
Yeah. I hear you really know how to cook.
I do okay.
Wow.
Let me just say, Buzz is doing a fine performance.
Yes,
there's sexy Buzz in this.
Rosemary?
Yes.
Love grows where my rosemary goes.
Ah, see? Nobody knows.
Ground me and send me to my room.
Hey, say, that's getting to her. She likes that.
Yeah.
You can't get blood from a stone.
Discipline me.
Let me say that, where's your daughter here? Hey, Lynn?
Yes.
Lynn, turn your radio down, please, honey.
How do you think that went, Lynn?
I think that went great, and my father's name is also Buzz, so it went over very
well. Hey, how about that?
Really? Well, listen, Rosemary.
Yes.
The truth of this is... Oh, there's Lynn said hi to you.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Lynn.
Oh, hi there.
Do I owe you?
Yeah, you owe me, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
I'll listen,
after you get home from Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
Yes, Rosie. Right. Rosie, you and your husband, please enjoy a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a 2-night, 3-day stay at the Beach Cove Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air.
She's going with Buzz.
With Hooters girls on every flight, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com.
Ooh, milfy.
We're gonna have a wonderful, a wonderful rubber room for you down there. It's not stressful at all.
Oh, I can deal with that.
And. You get everything you need. We don't supply KY jelly. So,
right.
So BYO KYJ.
Bring your own lube.
Okay.
Now what's shaking under that apron?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Rosemary.
Fabulous night, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hold on there, Rosemary.
Okay.
Nice rock.
Hold on.
Mama.
Thanks. Hey, Lynn?
Yes.
She's not still.
No, she's on hold.
No, I was going to ask Lynn a question.
Yeah.
She's not still wigged out, is she?
No, she's not. She's probably just a little wigged out from the phone call.
Okay. Right,
no
she's
problem.
Like not on anything right now, right?
No, not
she's
at
not
all.
On like dog tranquilizers or anything now.
No, we got her off all of that.
She's not taking serious pills, is she?
No, none.
Right. Okay, well, we...
we love you.
You know, we didn't... Oh, thank you, Lynn. That's very nice of you. And hope your mom has a great time. And,
I'll give you an update when she gets back.
Thank you, Lynn.
And tell
Rosemary... We said hi. Yeah. Hold on a second. We're going to give you a prize, too. And how about giving it up for my man, Buzz?
Yeah.
Wow. Really,
well, it wasn't easy.
Really came to play.
He did.
It was not
came
easy.
And I tell you, there's a staple in there whenever he does it now, and I want it. Wash me.
Okay.
I'm dirty.
You got it.
Wash me.
Can you imagine the strength it would take to pry those legs apart?
Wow.
Rosemary, you have to be key man, master of the universe.
All right.
You sounded nice.
Yes. Buzz?
Yes.
Hey. You came through.
Thank you.
Wash me, I'm dirty.
Happy to do it.
You came through with
hey, baby.
Who knew? With Nutty Rosemary.
Love eating mama's
dirty.
Pie.
I'm dirty. That's the best.
So, good job, Buzz.
Thanks.
We'll have another one of these to give away tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Very good.
We'll do it some other wacky way. I didn't think that that's exactly how it would go, but...
Who knows?
You know, she's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, she was nuts.
She said she'd give Buzz a bath.
She's doing better. Wash me, I'm dirty.
Wash me.
And you said something else about under the apron or cooking.
Yeah, what's shaking under that apron? You serve a steak with that shake. You know, how are you at stirring soup?
You're making gravy.
Yeah.
Sexy Buzz.
Love like the look in that oven.
Okay, thank you, Buzz. Thank you, Jennifer, or whatever. What was her name?
Lynn.
Lynn
and Rosemary.
Rosemary. Of course, Rosemary.
Of course,
naturally. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Oh,
For my goodness sakes, let me turn down the radio. Oh, there's some sort of echo. Echo.
Echo.
Oh,
echo.
That was great.
Yeah, there is an echo. I can hear that.
Yes, that was fascinating. I have to say my crap detector went off when that last person started saying someone's name on the radio.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't have a 7 second delay.
I just want to say I used to go to the club scene back in the... I started in the 70s.
Okay.
There were a couple of years where I just decided, you know, screw this, I'm going to stay home. So I would sit home and watch television. But then the 80s came along and it became fun again. And one type of club that you didn't mention is before it became very dirty to go to these places, you go to the place where people were dancing naked and peeing and throwing VM at each other. And it was a lot of fun, to tell you the truth, if you wore a plastic sheeting.
Wait a minute. What were the names of these places?
Oh, I don't remember. This is down in New York. But it was a lot of fun watching people exhibiting Farfel Otis at the blowhole. And there was a lot of times where I believed that many people should have joined the Joe Ardinger Taint Society of BM Eaters Anonymous. Can you believe that Lisa Herndon is marrying a primate when she should be with me, the great philanthropist? And do you ever listen to the Don and Mike show?
Actually, I do listen to Don and Mike. Let him go.
Good morning, you're in the air.
That's so funny because he mentioned Joe Ardinger, and I know exactly who he's talking about.
Good morning.
We just got slimed.
That's okay.
The Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Out of control. Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
Hey, are you listening, Rosemary?
Your Prozac. Have a nice trip.
Two guys you can't help but like, Don and Mike.
I mean, we got Johnny, our production guy, got like MP3s. This Perper guy is all over the place.
Really?
Now.
Is he going nuts?
Going nuts. We got three brand new ones today and more on the way.
Wow.
And that last one was good. Whoever those disc jockeys were, they knew about it.
Right.
They knew who Joe was.
That was great.
Joe Ardinger.
He has the accent. There we go.
He's doing the bad Russian accent.
Some kind of accent. Oh, God. He goes all over the place.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Pretty good.
Like it. Logged a little time last night with American Juniors just because I thought I had to watch it to comment on it.
Right.
And I have my comment.
Okay.
Blows dead bear.
Yeah, it looks like it really is going to... I saw the promo for it. It looks like it would be terrible.
Starts off, first off, with Ryan Seacrest. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I use a fake name. Buzz uses a fake name.
Right.
But really, Ryan Seacrest? And he's got the coffee cake hair.
Sure.
And now he's not on stage. He's standing in front of that big Hollywood sign
right
by the Capitol Records building.
Right.
And he's doing the voiceover, the narration. And basically what he's saying is it's not going to be like American Idol. But you're going to be able to vote on the most talented kids. And there's really not a way to do this without appearing cruel to the children.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because you can't... You got to let somebody down.
So here's the angle, which they didn't use enough,
mm-hmm.
in my humble estimation, in the first episode, is what dicks, jerks, and a-holes the parents are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They had one sequence, which was great, but too short. Apparently, when they announced this contest, they had 5,000 cars lined up in front of Fox in Hollywood at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I believe it.
So they go through the cars, and then they started to get, they got this response, and then they said, we're never going to get all these people into audition.
Right.
So they got the camera crew, and they're going up to these minivans where the stage moms have been waiting for 5-6 hours.
And not getting in.
Since 4 a.m. And they're getting the reaction of the stage moms being told,
I don't understand,
that the kids aren't getting in. One of them in particular big fat housefrau driving like a purple Chrysler minivan, sees the camera, says exactly what you just said.
Right.
I can't believe.
This stinks.
We're not getting in.
Bastards.
And then she says,
give me some caramel corn.
Okay, Stevie, sing. This is your chance. Sing.
Like the total stage move.
And the kid in the back seat says, I don't want to sing.
Give me some caramel corn.
And then there was another really crazy stage mom who said, I'm not a stage mom.
When you know she is.
And then she started talking, and I guess she said a-hole or the S-word, because they did that bleep, and they put the Little American Juniors logo on her mouth, so you couldn't see what she was saying.
Wow.
And she ended up saying, well, that's okay, because they're wrong, and my daughter sings at Disneyland anyway.
You know, one of the things about the original American Idol was watching the losers, and when they'd rave out because they had a delusion that they had talent. It's even worse with the parents, isn't it?
And here's the thing. That was great, but they only gave you bits of that.
Oh, see, I think that in order for that to be a hit, you go easy on the kids, but you get the whole reaction from the parents.
There's a show.
Because the whole thing that's creepy about American Juniors is that really they're all like JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I agree.
They're not dressed up like beauty queens.
I'm a good lollipop.
And it's just too weird, and I watched it. And
there's another show out there that's just like that. I forgot what it's called, but I watched a show. Was that the debut of
American Juniors? Yeah.
And this other show that I watched, that had this little kid with the derby hat on and the sparkly vest singing New York, New York. About the most painful thing I've ever seen. You know,
I think we have
obviously
we have a tape of that.
Oh, let's listen.
Nobody. Who is Nero?
Oh.
Nobody.
My.
Who is Jeff?
It's been a long time, Mike.
That's right.
Nobody.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Mike Ramsey.
This was a child's play. Yes, it was Captain Hook, and I was Captain Hook.
We used to play this when JonBenet was in the news.
I know.
Whenever JonBenet's name would come up.
Right. You know, that was one that I thought you might have left on the cutting room floor.
Never.
Heavens, no.
There he is. Forced by his mother to wear those tights.
No, I was not.
Wearing that sparkly vest.
I could have had an incredible musical career.
That my hook is cute. It's cute.
There he is, everybody.
Thank you, starring Mike O'Mara.
His silver six shooters.
You.
God. So then I
lost my train of thought.
I got done with American Juniors, right. And I turned on a show that was even more degrading. It was the Miss Universe pageant.
Oh, right. Dear.
Now, this was hosted by that tool, Billy Bush.
Oh, no.
The only thing that Billy Bush has going for him is that somehow he's related to President Bush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was a failed disc jockey here in D.C. And then he had a TV show on NBC for, I think, one episode of Let's Make a Deal, right, Robbie?
Yeah, and they keep saying that it's standing in the wings, but they aired one episode of it and got no action at all.
And I know every once in a while I turn on like Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood.
He's all over the place.
So he's the host, and Daisy Fuentes,
nice.
Who is still just, I think, an absolute piece of ass,
right,
is on the show, and it's from Panama. And they're calling down the women from the various countries. And you get down to the last 15, and listen, you know it's politically correct because they make sure that they got one woman from Zimbabwe,
mm-hmm.
so you've got an African American, and you got the girl
or an African.
An African. I'm so used to PC,
right.
You know, a black woman,
mm-hmm.
And then of course you've got the Japan,
right? So you have your Asian,
so they're represented.
Mm-hmm. Rob is shaking his head.
And then you've got
stop it.
Then you've got Canada and the United.
Oh, you can't like that, Rob.
The United States, of course. And then when they get to the final 15, is when they have the women come out wearing very skimpy bikinis.
Oh,
and
go.
I'm vacillating here between Boner City
right.
And feeling like, okay, these girls are being treated like strippers, but they're so stupid, they don't know it.
And being treated like strippers is bad.
Well,
why?
Here's the thing. Because they're not being treated exactly like strippers, they're being treated more like pieces of meat. And I know, again, that is bad. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm finding a cold. I have a sudden urge of...
I think you were out of your mind. I hate to say this, but I think you were watching this, and you lost your perspective for a second.
Then
large group of women in skimpy bikinis being treated like strippers. What is wrong with
you? They're going through the ages, and some of these girls are like 26, 27. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like 18 and still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still watching it because they're so dumb, but they're so beautiful. Like at one point when they say, as we get down to the final 15, let's hear it for Miss Finland. And
all right.
And the camera's on her, and she's standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't come down the runway to take her place. Meanwhile...
I'm sorry, don't speak English.
Meanwhile, the disco music's playing.
Was Miss Iceland there at all?
She didn't make it.
Oh.
And there was one whore, I don't remember who, what country she represented.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying they're treating them badly and that bothered you, and then you're calling them whores.
But there was one who was just over-the-top whorish. As they would come down... wearing their red bikinis, they would have like a red silk tie that they would wear around their bottoms.
Right.
And what they had to do was take it off and expose themselves and hold the tie, hold this wraparound thing.
Excuse me, why did you have a problem with this?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't, and I'm going to tell you, you are fighting a cold. You had no problem with this. You know why? Because you're giving us detail of a man that was sitting 2 inches from the TV.
All the girls apparently were told the way to do this, to appear not to be whorish, is to walk down the runway, untie the little sash,
right,
and very daintily, in a uniform way that they were all obviously taught, hold this thing behind them, like they were doing some kind of exotic I Dream of Jeannie dance.
We're still not getting to the reason that
bothered
you. Here's
the point.
Okay.
Here's the point. No.
And I'm disturbed that you
were bothered. All right,
it didn't bother.
There's one girl who, when she came down and she took off her little sash.
Yeah? No bottoms?
No. She had the bikini bottom on.
All right.
But she just took this thing off and started shaking her ass.
Yeah. All right. Good for her.
Yeah, did she win? I don't know who won. But the funniest part was, and I had to turn it off.
You know who won? Miss Universe.
I had to turn it off because Frida came in the room and said, this is demeaning for women.
Gotcha.
And, you know, turn it off.
That's really
They had the question and answer session, and the questions...
My favorite part.
The questions were written...
World peace.
...by the other dumb girls.
Ah, even better.
So they ask one of these dumb girls, they say, would you rather be fire or rain? Now, nobody's laughing, but it's that thing where, like, oh, my God, what a dumb question.
Yeah, but I am.
Yeah. I know everybody's laughing, but
I'm looking forward to this.
Nobody in the crowd is laughing.
Right.
And her answer is, neither. I'm a girl.
All right. Good for her.
I'm telling you.
She whiffed at it.
It was just great.
It sounds like it.
You know, really, what the problem I have with those pageants, and I know what you're saying, because they're just so...
I'm a girl. They ought to really just not try to hide what they really are and make them a little more bawdy.
It's a meat market. Mm-hmm. You want a girl with a pretty face, nice jug, nice ass, nice legs. That's what it's about. And
how big does your lover have to be?
Questions
like that.
There you go. I did feel bad for all the loser girls who didn't make it to the final 15. When the 15 that made it are out there in their bikinis.
What is the thing one man can do? What is the one thing a man can do that can get you into bed?
When the top 15 are out there.
See what the ratings would be if they did that.
Oh, yeah. In their red bikinis, all of the loser girls have to come out wearing their red bikinis too. And it's just an opportunity to see all the chicks in their red bikinis.
Yeah.
And it's great because they got to be just the dumbest women on the planet.
For her talent, Miss Tokyo will satisfy 5 men.
All right. And I was surprised that the chick from Canada, who was actually quite breathtaking, I'm surprised she didn't have one of those SARS masks.
SARS masks, yeah. It didn't hurt Toronto when
hello.
They were playing the Red Sox.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, you guys were bagging on the hottest chick, the one that stumbled on the fire and water question.
Was she hot?
Oh, she was the hottest chick on the show. By
hey,
far.
Listen, I'm not criticizing her looks. They were all beautiful with the exception of a couple. But this one, first off, the question is so dumb.
Yeah.
Which would you rather be, fire or ice? And then she really...
Fire or ice or fire or rain?
Fire or rain. Mm-hmm. She really stops...
the James Taylor song.
She stops and really is... You know, pontificating.
Right.
She looks right at the camera and goes, I could be neither because I am a girl.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I am a girl. And you know, the crowd is like.
She reviews the play. Fire so I could cook a nice juicy steak for my man.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Daisy Fuentes is the one that messed that up when the girl was standing there waiting to come down. She called the wrong country, because if you kept watching, when the girl finally came down, she goes, oh, you're supposed to be Miss So-and-so. Daisy Fuentes called the wrong country. That's why the camera was on the girl.
I can't believe Daisy Fuentes was at fault.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
It is. No, I
think Daisy Fuentes,
she's brilliant.
Very smart.
Courageous. I would have F her with Buzz's D, though.
Yeah. She's sexy.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Dead sexy.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It was the winner who asked that stupid question. I think it was the Dominican Republic girl that won it. She's also the one who's like tripping all over the stage.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was the girl.
So they have one girl come down and ask it? And or do they write them?
They would write them in advance.
But do the girls deliver the questions, or does Billy Bush deliver?
I think it was Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, really?
Hello, Donna Mike. Hello?
That's funny, though.
Hello?
Which would you rather be?
All right, I'm trying here. Hello, Donna Mike. Last call. Hello?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Well, the girl that won, she's the one who answered the fire and water question. She actually won the whole thing, and she was the 18-year-old from Dominican Republic.
All right, thank you.
She sounds interesting, Rob. What does she sound like?
What is it? Well, the girl that when she won, she was kind of pissed at the question. It wasn't she was just dumbing it. She was like, well, I don't know. That's a stupid question.
For her talent, Miss Belgium will show she has no gag reflex.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, it was a girl from Serbia who got the fire and water question who botched it.
Okay, whatever. I spent like 3 hours last night, and I don't know if I was happy or not with what I watched, but I watched it all.
Right.
I watched American Juniors, then I watched Miss Universe,
mm-hmm.
And then I watched Andy of Mayberry. And that was
a nice eclectic evening.
Because the Andy of Mayberry was a color episode. You know, and once those go to color,
right,
forget it. No good can come of that.
Well, it's evil. It's evil when that happens. But I'd love to watch the Miss Universe, man. I wish I'd seen it.
Time for Buzz. Before we get to Buzz, though, here's a trivia question for you, Mike.
Yes.
Reuben Studdard, who was the American Idol winner.
Yeah.
What's his favorite color?
I'm a boy.
Thank you. I do have the answers, though.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
one
man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
What's his favorite movie?
Green.
Here's a serious one.
All right. I'll answer it seriously.
You know what American Idol wore those 205 shirts?
Yes, the area code.
What's the size of the shirt that he wears?
5X.
Uh-uh.
Bigger?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Wow. Keep going.
7X?
Keep going.
10X.
Yeah, there's...
10X?
There's such 10X. A thing.
10X.
Wow.
He's that big? I mean, I know he's fat, but...
For Reuben.
Really?
10X.
I guess see him one time when they went backstage. Did you see the one where they went backstage right before the last night where he was sitting?
Yeah.
And it almost looked like he was lying down.
Wow. How about his shoe size?
Hand bone.
Incidentally, same as his IQ.
Oh, stop it.
75.
15. He couldn't have a shoe size of 75.
Here are my shoes. I'll see you later.
Buzz, what's your lead story tonight?
You like this. Tonight, Barry Manilow finally does something about his nose.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
God, we're just the faggiest show in the world today.
Very, very gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not.
I think Tim is thinking about this right now.
I think we'd like to dedicate this to Tim.
I remember all my life.
I don't want to talk to anyone else. But you see.
Down as cold as ice.
Barry Manilow's nose in the news.
Shadows of a man. Face through with.
This is Fabian here.
Police in the news.
Just when he thought we'd forgotten.
Barry Manilow's nose. That's your lead story, right, bud?
That's the lead.
I'll just take this with her.
You've got 4 minutes to get Sabian here.
That's a great song.
Yes, for Sabian.
So good.
Sabian
can do it. We can't do anything about it.
So find Sabian.
Now get me Sabian! Well, anyway, Barry Manilow's nose in the news. Yeah. We did the stay tuned. Mike, that was very
professional.
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes,
you die.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They're the hair and the teeth in the comedy tumor. Don and Mike.
Yeah. Time for Bugs' sexy newscast now. Bugs brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor?
Doctor developed clinically tested Veramax Works. Get in at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax. 1-888 Try VMAX. And now with SARS, here's a
now.
And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Barry Manilow has to get a nose job now. He says he woke up in the middle of the night recently and, disoriented, walked into a wall. It knocked him out again and broke his nose. It happened at his home after returning from producing the new Bette Midler album.
Of course. Hey, and that's what we need. Isn't that what we need? We all need a new Bette Midler album.
Yes, we do.
Who smells gay? I mean, not literally, who smells gay, but even with my cold, I smell...
You smell gay?
I smell gay.
It's a good smell, isn't it?
Barry says that when he woke up, he thought he was still in Malibu, not back in Palm Springs at his home, hence the disorientation.
Where am I?
He says hitting the wall knocked him out for 4 hours.
Are you sure he didn't walk into another man's buttocks?
I mean, like if the guy had those abs of steel.
Ow!
He says it was a wall.
I'm a bird.
But he did wake up with a sense of humor, quoting him, "With this nose, it's going to require major surgery."
Really? So, well, when they get in there, are they going to improve it? Because you know what? I don't think they should, because he'll frighten people.
The wall that his nose hit was next door.
That's just how big it is.
How big is it?
Do you think they'll go in and change it?
Sabian.
Your program director doesn't get this.
See,
it's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got your Metallica, and then you've got this. That's why we think it's kind of funny to...
Canada's in September.
We'll have a Barry Manilow day.
Oh, God. That's too great.
Hold on, rocks.
Let me just see what else you got there real fast. Let me just see if I got one more intro that I could work. Which disc?
They're all so good.
You write all the songs.
This was
Copacabana. Copacabana. We needed some up-tempo. Mm-hmm.
You want some up-tempo?
Yeah, some up-tempo, Manilo.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's Tim the kind
goes
there.
With that rapid fire Sabian.
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 Sabian. Sabian.
Yeah. Remember the program director we had used to like Barry Manilow?
Oh, Matt Farber.
Right.
Oh, really? God, he really liked it.
He liked me, really. And he liked Neil Diamond, too.
Huh.
Sabian.
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 Sabian. Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian. Sabian.
Sabian.
Sabian. Sabian. Sabian. Sabian. Sabian.
Now it seems years. For you see, Barry Manilow was in the news.
Yes,
he's broken his nose.
The yes. story. And they'll require major surgery.
Well, he's joking, but yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What I mean, big nose.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Okay, this is maybe the most annoying one ever.
Sabian.
You know I can't smile without you. Oh, Manilow. What are the effects of singing voice?
God, I hope not.
Interesting.
Hold on, Rob. I'm having too much fun here. Hold on. Let me even see. All right, here you go.
Stewart spent much of the day today in court. She's facing federal prosecutors who plan to charge her with insider trading and maybe obstruction of justice.
She's guilty of being too good-looking.
She's going to be on our low-budget Jeff Hardy tomorrow.
Oh, lovely, lovely lady.
Excellent.
You know, I've been watching Letterman with the excerpts
right.
from that TV movie.
Right.
And I noticed that NBC reran it, and I T-voted on Saturday night.
I watched it when NBC reran it.
And God damn, is it funny?
It is. I enjoyed it.
It's really, really good.
I hated the ending, but I liked because the ending was kind of a kiss ass, which I thought was really inappropriate.
Well, that's the only way that they can make it up to her, that they make her out to be such just a total raving bitch.
And I disagree with the panning of Cybill Shepherd. I thought Cybill Shepherd did a credible job. I really thought she did a good job as Martha Stewart.
Good. Excellent.
I like when she first goes to work for Kmart. Did you see that part?
I saw it all, yeah.
It's great. When she walks in and she goes, I'm not going to put my name up.
Oh, but she's talking about how much fiber is in the...
What's the thread count?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Martha's been investigated over selling 4,000 shares of a biotech company just before the stock's value took a dive.
And are we all in agreement, even though we have just very tertiary knowledge of this?
Right.
Guilty as sin?
Guilty and stupidly handled on her part, because really when they called her on it, she should have probably just admitted to it. It would be less of a problem than when you lie to those type of people.
That's where the obstruction of justice charge comes in, because they also believe that she lied to the FBI about it.
But people are so nutty about this. I was watching Channel 5 today, the new news. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Here's a guy. Okay, let's take a call, unless this is the Berber guy. Here's a guy who wants to state the obvious.
Very good.
Okay. I enjoy these dumb calls. Chris. He hung up.
What was he going
to say? How sad, you pussy. Anyway, said on the screen, you run the Sabian thing into the ground.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's right. That's right.
That's kind of how we do it. Thanks, though, Chris. And thanks for being such a pussy that you hung up as soon as I was going to take your call.
Absolutely. That's the whole idea.
Run it into the ground. Anyway, I'm watching Channel 5, and I got the weather guy, and I'm hinging on this weather for my kid's graduation Friday.
Right.
And right as he's about to get to the forecast, he says, hold on, I'm being told by the producer. It's in the middle of the new news.
Mm-hmm.
He says, before we get to the forecast, let's go back to the anchor desk. And they broke into the weather just for a live shot from New York of Martha Stewart walking into the courtroom.
Yeah.
That's how nuts everybody is about Martha Stewart.
That's how shallow we are all, too. Well, investigators think she had inside information that she knew the stock's value would tank. She is friends with the founder of that biotech company. He could be going to prison next week for 7 years after already being convicted on insider trading charges. The 61-year-old homemaking diva denies any wrongdoing.
She's 61?
Yes, she is.
She doesn't look 61.
Well-preserved. She says she'd already told her broker to sell if the value started to drop.
I was kidding.
Would you? Now? Yes.
Or when she was...
No, now.
When she
would
was
you?
My age.
Now. Would you?
I'd have to... Give me a choice.
No. It's not a who would you do. And incidentally, oh my God.
What?
Do we have a beef... Who would you do? That is totally 100, 1 million, 1 billion percent original on this show.
Right.
The concept of who would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Two ugly celebrities, which one would you do? We got a book from somebody. Somebody has actually stolen the idea, and the book is called Who Would You Do?
Mm.
Or we've booked them on our show as a guest. We're going to rip them a new one.
Right.
But with Martha Stewart... I don't think you get the luxury of who would you do. I think it's simply, would you?
No.
I would.
I know you would.
I would not. Not now, not then. Never.
I would in her younger days. Mm. She was a fashionable.
No. Look at her profile. Weird shaped head to me.
Because you don't have to head.
Sometimes.
But you can.
Sometimes.
I know you can.
God. Hillary Clinton says her husband.
Would you?
What?
Yeah, I already said.
Hillary? He moved on to another person. I wasn't talking about Martha
Stewart. There was a time where you were sort of intrigued, but then later you didn't like her piano legs.
She's got Popeye arms for legs. Right. She's got elephantitis in the legs.
So you wouldn't.
But I'd do her. Yeah, Hillary? Yeah. And part of it is I'd do her just because I think she's so ready for a big, hard, you know, piece of meat. But I think she'd be...
Calm down, sailor.
I think she'd really be receptive to it. I think you could come at her with a yardstick and say, okay, let's make love.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could in a million years, even if I really wanted to. I don't think I could.
Hold on, we got more idiots.
I couldn't make Barbara Mikulski jealous.
More idiots. Paul.
Hey. No, I'm not an idiot. I'm going to let you abuse me for the last caller. It is quite annoying.
It's not your agenda, though,
I get the joke. No, yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, you talk to your phone screener. I told him my agenda.
Your agenda is that you think we're overplaying the Tim Sabian thing.
Well, it just gets really annoying.
Okay, well, then you know what I find really annoying?
Yeah, me.
When somebody listens to a show and doesn't like something but calls up, don't you realize that you're not going to change it by calling?
No, absolutely.
Okay, then that's
I'm
what annoys
you
me.
Your ability to vent your frustrations on me.
No, here's how you vent frustration.
Good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Look.
Steve. Steve. We're having a douchebag parade.
Cracks and beans.
Well put.
He was not really complaining.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't complaining.
You're ready for a little fight right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
You got a cold and it's late in the day. You're ready for a boxing match.
Hold on. The guy who hung up is on the phone.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Chris.
Mike.
What?
I got a rating system. You're going to get all these questions now that you're in your, you know, the stage of your life where you're so available. where my Don is going to ask you, would you do it? So we have a code.
Hold on. Is this the guy from Philly who called to say that we were overplaying the Tim Sabian?
No, I hate that guy. I'm a better guy.
Oh, Jesus. Joe, you're an idiot.
Joe.
Really? I mean, you were smarter with long hair.
Stop it, Joe. Stop this string of robberies.
Buzz, we got a break.
All right, then.
Mike, you're right. I'm looking for a fight.
Well, but that's a good thing sometimes.
So let's cool down. But yes, I do Hillary. I do her in a second.
Maybe I would, too.
Good man.
Yeah, why not?
How about you, Buzz?
Maybe. Maybe.
Rob?
No, I do Chelsea, though.
Well, you're right, Rob. So would I.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Moses is probably my favorite character in the Bible. He has weaknesses and strengths. And that's what I like in the character.
Hey, guess what? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Guess what? How about one more?
Sure.
There is good. I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
You know, after I have my stroke, or what is it that happened to him?
Stroke. That's right.
Someone just duct taped my mouth. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. Just let me write stuff down like I had to yesterday.
Yeah, you won't want to do that.
You know, mate, what do you mean we're repeating your Sabian stuff?
Right.
No.
You're forgetting one thing.
What's that?
He's very courageous.
Yeah, and brave.
Yes.
And you'll want to do the same thing.
Yeah, but that's why I'm asking you.
You have no choice. You'd want to do the same
thing. I'm asking you, my friends, now, while I'm of a relatively sound mind.
No, I wouldn't duct tape your mouth. It'd be too cruel. You couldn't eat.
Just during the show. Just from 3 till 7.
Yeah, you made me laugh during the show.
What if the AFI really needs your input?
Yeah.
Well, unless it's... First off, I've not been in a movie
yet.
Broadcast news I was cut out of. And the only other AFI I can think of, and again, you can say it's all I dwell on, but... Anal Effing Institute. I'm not going to be invited to any AFI stuff.
I think that AFI is going to be in town this weekend.
You're right.
It's in town every weekend.
The gay Pride Parade, though.
Oh, yeah, that.
Sure.
Buzz, I forgot. It's in town every
It's out here in the burbs, where sure. You live.
That's right. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hillary Clinton.
Hi, Buzz.
Hillary Clinton says her husband didn't tell her the whole truth about his contact with Monica Lewinsky until the weekend before he admitted it to a grand jury. Her book about her 8 years in the White House comes out Monday, but some reporters already have advanced copies. In it, she says her toughest decisions have been deciding to run for Senate and deciding to stay married to Bill. When she learned the truth, she says, quote, I could hardly breathe. Gulping for air, I started crying and yelling at him. What do you mean? What are you saying? Why did you lie to me?
You know, I don't want to take sides here, but maybe if she gulped for his D a little more, you know, he wouldn't have gone after old Budge.
That's the politically correct position.
She says he just stood there saying over and over again, I'm so sorry. I was trying to protect you and Chelsea. Hillary also says, quote, as a wife, I wanted to wring Bill's neck. On the vacation that followed this revelation, she says, Buddy came along to keep Bill company.
Oh, that's the dog, right? Mm-hmm. Buddy, right.
He was the only member of our family who was still willing to...
have sex with Bill?
No, just to keep him company.
Oh, okay.
But keeping him company means you have to have sex. So, yes, I think you can read between the lines.
Draw from that,
you won't hear
you
this on any other show. Mm-hmm. I believe that he might have...
Oh, there's Buddy now.
Hello,
Bill.
Hillary won't go near me. I'd like to have sex with you. Come here, Pooch. Buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on. Oh, that's a good dog. Oh, that's a good dog. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh. Careful, Bill.
Whoa, that was great.
Hillary continues, I could barely speak to Bill. When I did, it was a tirade. He slept downstairs, I slept upstairs. the former First Lady's getting about $8 million for the book, which sells in hardbound for $28 a copy and 17.
Reading the excerpts from that book, you're going to be disappointed because there's not going to be. She's still a senator and she still wants to run for bigger political office. So you're going to get a politically correct, very. You're not going to get a real nasty tell-all book.
But you're going to get more than you've gotten. You're going to get, true. You know, when I found out my husband, Bill Clinton, was having an affair with Monica Lewinsky,
right.
He lied to me about it. You know, maybe I won't buy it because all the good stuff's going to be in the excerpt.
There you go. That's true.
But either way, we should have, like, the Don and Mike players get together to have a group reading because, of course, you're great as Bill. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think I could pull Monica off.
And Joe Artinger as Buddy the Dog.
And, Robbie.
Yeah?
Say hi. You're Monica.
Oh, that's great.
And Buzz, you can be, who was?
Al Gore.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's how far he's fallen off my radar.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Who is the vice president?
What's his name?
Quick they fall away.
I was
going to
say you could be Dan Quayle, but I was thinking, no, that was his... That was the other guy.
Al Gore.
Administration.
The people at Viacom thought it would be a good idea to rename their TNN cable channel. Known as the Nashville Network by another owner, Viacom, which also owns CBS, changed it to the National Network. Nobody bought it. Nobody seemed to get that. So now that Viacom is aiming the channel at men, it's decided to call the channel Spike.
Is anyone listening?
Spike, I mentioned that to you before. Well, this does not set well with movie maker Spike Lee. He's suing Viacom over this.
Oh, come on.
Quoting his lawsuit, it was obvious that Spike TV referred to Spike Lee.
Oh, my God.
It is obvious that no one has given a rat's ass about Spike Lee the last 10 years.
Really?
We'll let you know what the courts decide or what gets settled out of court.
Oh, Spike.
In sports, the big story today is Sammy Sosa's corked bat. He was ejected from last night's game against Tampa Bay for using one. He says it was a practice bat he accidentally carried onto the field.
Goddamn Cubs.
He's now waiting to hear what his punishment will be.
Cubs are the Red Sox of the American level, National League.
Oh, true. Last guy to get caught using cork, the Dodgers' Wilton Guerrero in 97, was suspended for 8 games and had to pay a $1,000 fine. Interesting sidebar, a physics professor who has studied baseball says it, even a great hitter, it's harder, you lose distance with a corked bat. He says you actually don't do as well with a corked bat as a solid bat.
Here's what I was reading about this today, that in some instances, it adds 5 feet. Mm-hmm. You can hit the ball 5 feet farther.
Right.
Sammy Sosa is not a singles hitter. He's a home run hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think, if he's hit the ball 330 yards,
right.
What difference? You know, or feet, whatever it is, 330 feet. What is 5 feet going to matter?
Right.
Second, I kind of believe him. Mm-hmm. If he's got like 40 bats and he's got one that's corked that he uses before a game to show off with, what the hell? And even if he cheats, well, I got news for you. You got to cheat to win. I mean, that's kind of how I live my life, at least. Maybe my morals are flawed. But, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And remember this as well. Eat name cheating. Finally on this topic.
Uh-huh. Yes, Don?
After I've spent the last minute, this is going to seem ridiculous.
What are your final thoughts on this?
Why is ESPN having a 2-hour special on this?
Because they're looking for anything to fill their
airtime. What else do they have to do?
That was my reason, too.
Mm-hmm.
In sports. Boy, I just spent a minute on it.
Oh, finally.
Sorry.
Here we go again, I thought, when I saw the latest story about some woman in trouble for breastfeeding a newborn baby. I was outraged as usual.
Now I'm turned on.
Dude. Well, I was outraged when a woman gets in trouble with this, especially since this happened at a daycare center, for crying out loud.
Wow, now I'm ready to cork my bat.
And the woman's been charged with breaking the public decency law. She's a lawyer. She's even the president of her county's bar association
it's
there in
clean,
Oklahoma.
It's clean. It's decent.
She says she was just trying to get the baby to stop crying. I guess the reason people were so upset about the breastfeeding, turns out it wasn't her baby. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Even more of a turn. Oh, God. Even more erotic. Sick.
Sexy mama.
Hmm? Thank you, Buzz.
If this show lasted another hour, we'd all be in prison.
Oh, have sweet dreams tonight.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Mm. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Queasy.
Hey.
Stock drive.
Rusty.
Peter. Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.